Underwriting support from the Sharon Valley Tavern since the 1930s, serving the community with a rich history and roots dating back to the 1800s. Today, the tavern continues to serve the residents of the Tri-State region with a relaxing atmosphere 7 days a week. Food, friends, and fun the old-fashioned way, 860-364-9355. You'll find them on Facebook, Sharon Valley Tavern. Associated Lightning Rod, Route 22 in Millerton, installing lightning protection for homes and businesses for well over 50 years, 518-789-4603, ALRCI.com. On the web, Sagala Turnkey Housing, Route 7 in Canaan, an authorized independent builder for Westchester Modular Homes, 860-824-0019, sagalas.com. Roaring Oaks Florist in Lakeville, Connecticut, unique designs with personal attention, roaringoaksflorist.com. Dave's TV, Route 44 in Millerton, New York, everything for home entertainment, video, audio, satellite TV, 518-789-3881, davestv.net. McEnroe Organic Farm Market, Route 22 in Millerton, open year-round 7 days a week, 518-789-4191, McEnroeOrganicFarm.com. Northeast Muffler, Route 22 in Millerton, New York, 518-789-3669. On Facebook, Northeast Muffler. Today is a very special day for Hometown Sunday Morning. The journey has reached its end. It's time for the final show of Hometown Sunday Morning with NASCAR Dave. Or as the traveling Wilburys would say, the end of the line.
Well, it's all. Wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring.
Well, it's all right. Even if they say you're wrong, well, it's all right. Sometimes you gotta.
Well, it's a day I never thought would come. I never imagined would come. It is the last show for NASCAR Dave at Hometown Sunday Morning. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Marshall.
It's one of those things in radio that you just don't ever think about.
Well, you've already got me teared up, so that's not a good sign at 2 minutes after nine.
Well, Dave said you're going to run the board today, so I said, well, hell, I bought you into this business. I'm going to be here and take you out of it. So why don't you, everybody say good morning here this morning.
That means you, Larry.
No.
Chad.
Wait, Chad?
We're going around this way. Chad's on the outside.
Chad's on the other side.
Patriot Chad.
Good morning, it's Chad.
And Patriot Larry.
Farmer Paul.
And Chris.
See, all right, everything's disorganized without you.
Welcome to the final edition of Hometown Sunday Morning. And we're going to start off with a troop tribute, as we have in the past since 2001, actually at 9/11, as a matter of fact. But first, let's not forget that the Sharon Ambulance has their monthly pancake breakfast going on as we speak.
Yep.
It runs from 7:30 until 10:30. It's a breakfast buffet, all you can eat. It includes pancakes and waffles and sausage and bacon and juice and coffee and homemade home fries. It is quite unique. So it's a good way to get down and thank your volunteers. And we're going to talk about the local volunteers a little bit later on in the show. So with that being said, we always start out with a troop tribute. And I think it's quite fitting that the last show that I'm going to broadcast happens to be on Veterans Day, because one part of this show that I believe has been the most popular of anything that we've done is once we got the troop tribute going, and the different folks who we'll talk about a little bit later also that have taken the troop tribute to totally new levels than when we first started out, just thanking the veterans. So with that being said, are you doing a troop tribute this week, Larry?
We're passing this over to Farmer Paul for his final hurrah.
I would
like to say something when he's done.
And I've written up something, but I didn't really finish it because the finish really has a lot to do with what you've done over the years. So maybe Larry wants to chime in, or you want to chime in about the different ways that you've helped out the veterans all over all these years.
No, I want to comment on how much it cost me.
What?
we'll go into that. If, later.
First of all, you start off by saying that it's a good thing that you're doing this on Veterans Day, but this isn't just any old Veterans Day.
Yeah.
This is the 100th anniversary of Veterans Day, the end of World War I when it first started. So today is the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I. There were fewer victims in World War I than World War II. In World War I, there were fewer destroyed buildings, far fewer civilian casualties, and most of the effects were just on Western Europe between Germany and France, and on Eastern Europe between Germany and Russia. But the nature of the warfare, trench warfare, between 1914 and 1918 was probably the worst type of warfare. There were approximately 40 million casualties that were incurred by the various military forces. About 9 million people, soldiers, died of wounds or diseases. For most of the armies, about 10% of the participants died, and on the front lines, about 25 to 50% of the combatants died. And moreover, as it was trench warfare, the battleground in the West especially was relatively small in area. It was a ribbon of trenches running for hundreds of miles, rarely more than 500 yards wide. The weapons used were machine guns, mortars, and quick-fire cannons. The trenches were all marked by barbed wire. There was barbed wire everywhere, and as the war went on, that entire little area between the two opposing armies became a no-man's land where if you were to venture into it, you faced almost certain death.
Mustard gas.
I was going to say the next thing. Poison gas was used extensively, not only killing people, but maiming them for life. The casualties from running through the Allies' no man's land were fantastic. 400,000 in just the Flanders campaign in 1917. And that campaign gained practically nothing for either side. This is where World War I was kind of unique. Beginning in the fall of 1914, it was shown that soldiers would come in as casualties but have no obvious wounds. They appeared to be suffering from a state of shock, which was later called shell shock, suffering from loss of memory, loss of smell, loss of taste, troubles with vision, headaches, sleep disorders. It was first thought to be a physical condition, but during the war, that changed to being a diagnosis as a psychological condition. Most of the casualties were given bed rest, and then a very large percentage of them went right back to the front. It was really quite incredible.
Wow.
Relatively few were diagnosed with concussion. Most were cleared. Most were shown to be suffering from some sort of serious disorder. Looking at the details of the causes, it would seem most came close to or were affected by an exploding shell or a series of exploding shells. I was reading some of the details about this warfare. Hundreds of thousands of shells were fired, you know, almost daily. The armaments they had could sweep acres of land within minutes. So people were
artillery extensively,
and since they were all stuck in one place, there was no mobility whatsoever. So unlike World War II, where there was quite a bit of mobility, they were stuck there in trenches. Looking at the detail of the causes, it seemed most were close to an exploding shell. Studies of Iraqi war veterans show that about 19% sustained similar injuries from explosive devices, and that the injuries were similar to PTSD. There may be no trauma, but there's evidence of sleep disorders and mood swings. And what I really wanted you to talk about or to think about is how much this program over the years has done for veterans who not only had physical disabilities but suffered from that, from PTSD. And I can think of many examples where we've discussed things like that. The Veterans Clinic in Pine Plains, the various foundations you work with.
Wyndham,
the Advanced the Sports Foundation. Just so many ways we've tried to help out veterans who have been suffering from these diseases.
Yeah, but they're not on their A game. They're not up to speed.
Well,
They've got to do better.
But you compare it to what happened back then when they had no idea.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The things that were being done to these casualties.
Even in Vietnam, we call it shell shock.
Yeah, they were given electric shock treatments. They were treated as really either cowards, or they are treated as suffering from some mental disease where they'd have to be institutionalized. So I think we've come a long way. I think this show has done a lot to bring the sort of treatment that needed to the area and to this country.
So. Well, I think what really turned the corner on the troop tribute is when we brought Stephen Value in, who was one of the co-hosts at the time. And then he, in turn, got another veteran who stepped up to the plate, that being Larry Conklin. And their bond with hunting camps and so forth really taught us what the real issues were facing veterans in today's world. Mm-hmm. And I think the show has made a lot of difference. The one way we've made a difference, we've helped some veterans in our own area, but I think the biggest thing that we've done by this troop tribute, in my own mind, is that we've made people in the tri-state area aware of what these symptoms are, who to go to get help, and how to do that. And that's the one thing that Larry Conklin took it to another level, even beyond Stephen Value, because he adamantly researched all the places to find out how to get yourself help or how the family can get your help.
Yeah.
And he's advertised that. Even Willie Hallahan has said it time and time again. What is the phone number in Washington, that hotline? And you know, we witnessed it this week with an Iraqi veteran out in L.A. that went in and shot all those innocent folks up. Well, obviously, like Larry says, we're not doing 100% right, but I agree with you. I think we've come much further than when we started this, and folks started coming back in 2003 and 2004. Mm-hmm. We've certainly come a long way.
The Justice Department has to get on top of that, too, because mental disorders of such should be shared with police departments and localities. There's no excuse for not doing so. A life takes precedence over civil rights. Sorry.
No, it certainly does. But, you know, we certainly have a long way to go. But like you said, we've come a long way. Mm-hmm. And when you get folks like the folks at Post 178 over Millerton, or the folks down at the VFW in Dover Plains 5444, or the folks at Couch Pipa up in that the commander Kirk Harrington was here last week speaking. Those are local resources, and even the Sharon American Legion 126. Those are the local resources for veterans to go. Mm-hmm. And I remember how hard all the veterans had to fight to get the satellite office in Pine Plains.
Yeah.
Because the Veterans Affair wasn't going to do it. Well, that touched so many more lives that otherwise wouldn't have gone there for regular care that they're entitled to.
The older people won't travel to Castle Point.
They can't travel.
Or they're inconveniencing someone else to imposition on them to take them there. And most are too humble to even ask. So
So, I mean, when you look at what we did through Steam Value, we got affiliated with the Adaptive Sports Foundation. And I'll still never forget the one time Sunday in a Country Food Drive went to Burden Lake up in just outside of Albany. And we did lunch for
125 people. In an hour and 10 minutes.
it was probably about 30 veterans and their entire families. Mm-hmm. And it was a weekend of water sports, anything to do with water sports. If they wanted to learn how to water ski, whether it be the kids or guys with no legs and one leg and one arm missing, they adapted it. And that started us on a path to really get involved with the programs and be able to announce the programs that are available to these people. And then we got invited to the each and every year to do the show at Wyndham at the ski area, where they same scenario, they bring veterans and their families up. And what's good about that is not just getting the folks and the families back together outside. It's what happens at the hotel that they all stay in on the after hours, where the families get to talk to other family members who, you know, wives or girlfriends, or the kids get to talk to other kids or their parents have suffered some kind of disability. And it just rounds it out to the care that these folks need. And thank God for the Adaptive Sports Foundation. They're a group of volunteers that do all that week in and week out. Along with all the other organizations, Larry went down and witnessed right here Jane Strong in Sharon, who has the horse pro, the Aquas Effect. And let me tell you, he went to the program and watched what these veterans were doing and how they interact with the animal and this and that, and how it affected them. He was able to witness it, right, Larry? It's an excellent
Correct.
Program.
It brings them out of the shell. They take that first step, usually do the VA, sometimes by other means. Jane's program is all public funds, donations.
Yeah.
You know, I have to hand it to her. She's doing a terrific job. And they have I think they went through 150 or so last year. And they start off with 25, they're up to 150, and I hope she progresses. And I hope she supersedes in expanding that program to other areas as well, because you have to see it to believe it. You really do.
Yeah, no, it's kind of like watching guys ski with, like Steve, a paraplegic, okay? Get on a mono ski and ski down the biggest hill that Wyndham Mountain can offer. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's insane when you think about a veteran doing that. Mm-hmm. Or him parachuting out of a plane.
Yeah, that's amazing.
To land at his new house. Or some of the things that have come to
2.5 miles.
Just in the hunting area.
Right.
Now, he's an avid hunter. Just the devices that have been designed by folks to be able to let these men and women go out and enjoy life again and participate in things that they thought when they were first injured that would never happen. You know, and the one time we got invited down to Walter Reed to cook.
I was going to mention that, yeah.
For the veterans and their families when they first got back from Iraq and Afghanistan. And, Marsha, you were down there. You know what that was all about. Well, that was phenomenal.
People don't understand what Dave and everybody set up on that time we went to Walter Reed. No radio station had ever broadcast live from Walter Reed.
Really?
No. We had to get permission. We had to get special permission. And what was amazing was everybody went down, all the food that was cooked, everything that was done. That was truly a life-changing experience to meet all those soldiers and their families when we went down there that day. People don't realize it. You just don't show up and broadcast at Walter Reed. It took a lot of red tape being cut to do that.
Yeah, we got to thank Bob Jenks and the whole group at Post 178 for inviting us and allowing us to do that. And, you know, when it's all said and done, you're not allowed to do that as a radio station. Well, guess what? We weren't allowed technically, to bring food down,
raw
food, because we're cooking steaks, I think, right, Chris?
For, for all of families. Yeah, and a lot of the legions helped by providing salads. Like
126
did this big salad. I mean, it was really phenomenal. And, it, you know, the veterans really, really enjoyed the company and had the dialogue, and especially the families. It was just amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. But, you know, they had to get special permission. We had to have a doctor on board the bus the entire way.
Really?
To make sure that nothing happened to any of that food in the coolers and that it was the right temperature.
Yeah,
a doctor.
And then they inspected the whole place.
And then when we got to Walter Reed, they looked in every single cooler and looked through, like, I mean, just what we pulled off there.
Every single cooler?
And they've done that a couple of times since then, too, post-178. And, you know, things like that were the things that after today's show I'll look back on with fond memories and say, wow.
How did we get that
You know,
done?
if we didn't do this show and have a troop tribute, none of that stuff would have happened. It wouldn't. So it progressed from just giving a shout out to the troops and thanking them for running over to after 2001, after 9/11, and just thanking them for their service to the country, to progress to what it is today. And I really think, I honestly do think that it's probably one of the, if it's not the most popular on the show, I think it is. I think it's the most well listened to of anything we do. Good morning. You're live on Hometown Sunday Morning. Morning.
Hello. Morning.
Hey.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good. Who's this?
Good. This is Bob Downey.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm great.
Good. You guys put a good show on there. I liked your presentation to the troops. I wanted to say I was involved that one time going down to Walter Reed, and it does wake you up, and it's an experience of a lifetime.
Oh, definitely. It definitely was an experience of my lifetime. I don't – and you know what else I liked about it was the places we got to visit as a group.
Right.
You know, the different memorials, if we wanted to go to the Vietnam Wall or we wanted to go to the World War II Wall, depending on where different people served or whether your parents were. I went to the World War II because my father was in World War II, and I'll still never forget. There was a picture on the wall at the American Legion of that particular trip. They have a lot of different slides, Mr. Downey. And I'll never forget the picture of Kevin Ahern with another Vietnam veteran. And now I'm getting way ahead of myself because I forgot his name from Dover, and he's going to shoot me. But anyway, Kevin didn't want to go to the Vietnam. He was in Vietnam. He was diagnosed with cancer at the time from Agent Orange, and he did not want to go on this trip. Well, they talked him into going, he and his wife, and they talked him into going to the Vietnam War Memorial because the wall was brand new at that time. And I got to tell you, there's a picture of he and this gentleman walking down a sidewalk in solitude, their arms around each other because Kevin at that point was fairly sick. And just listening to them speak afterwards about that experience. It truly, that whole trip was very moving.
Right. It was a good trip. You guys always did a lot for them people up there, and I appreciate that a lot. And it was just fun being around you guys up there. I'm down here for 8 years, and I'm enjoying my retirement, but I miss all the guys up there and having fun around the Legion.
Yeah, well, you're down in Daytona, right?
Yeah, I'm just below it, Port Orange, Florida, and I think the last time I see you was when you came and bought a belt at Walmart. You and me ran into each other.
Yeah, because you used the men's room at Walmart.
Right. I couldn't use the ladies' room. They wouldn't let me in. That wasn't in effect yet.
That probably was a good thing for them.
But anyway, I just want to wish you a happy retirement and everything, and I'm glad you're getting along good, and I hope you enjoy yourself in the future.
Well, I so appreciate your call, and just so you know, we're going to be by next Sunday, we'll be in Florida full-time also.
Okay. Well, I hope to run into you down there then someplace.
You probably will. I'll be coming over to Daytona quite often, I imagine.
Okay. You have a good retirement. Enjoy your day, and you guys had a very good show there.
Thank you very much, Bob. I appreciate your call, and I appreciate your service and everything you've done also.
Okay. You have a good day now.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow.
Boy.
I don't even remember him on the trip because we had a bus full of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, we were able to take our Jeep, remember?
Yeah.
And that was another thing, getting cars on the property,
remember,
Marshall.
Remember Thea drove down on the motorcycle with her husband?
yeah, but she froze on the way home, for sure. She finally got on the bus. Good morning, you're live on Hometown Sunday morning.
Hi, it's Donna Lloyd calling.
Hi, Donna.
How are you? We're wishing Dave from the Jane Lloyd Fund a happy retirement.
Well, thank you so much. It truly has been a pleasure to get together with you folks for what you do for the community. You know, a little bit later I was going to talk about some of the joys that I've had doing this radio thing and getting word out about what different groups do. Yours is quite special to me because my mother died of cancer also when I was 13 and she was only 49. So
wow.
I have a similar. I know what that particular scenario is all about. But you folks, the family came out on the other side of that, and truly have done some things for this community. Number one, that was sorely needed. You could see through what your sister went through to know where to funnel your funds and how to help families the most of all. Because once your loved one is gone, now it becomes the family situation that has to be taken care of. And you guys have taken that to the nth degree in what your organization is all about. And I'm very proud to say that I love what you guys do. I talk highly of it whenever anybody brings it up. And I want you guys, I just hope that everybody that's doing good things in our community, and there's hundreds of them in our tri-state, I hope everybody, just because I'm not on the radio, I don't want you to think that you can't call Marshall Miles or you can't email Marshall Miles, and we'll give that information out 100 times before today's show's over, because he will continue to get all those type of events and fundraisers on, because what you do in our community with the Jane Lloyd Fund is so important and it makes such a difference in so many lives that it truly is. It's a testament to your sister and what family is all about. So thank you for what you do, and I certainly appreciate your call today.
Oh, well, we appreciate you and all of your support for us, because without people like you, you know, it would be harder. But you advocating for us and Marshall does 120%, and without people like you in our community, we couldn't do what we do either. So we thank you, and we thank your support, and we wish you and your wife all the best.
Well, thank you very much, and I'll keep. I'm still going to keep in touch with the tri-state area one way or the other. So
I'm sure you will.
No, I'll know when something's going on, because you know who would tell me? Willie Hallahan.
Well, you take good care, and again, thank you for your support over the years. Right. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
All right, so we usually play a couple.
Say something, and I'd like to express a heartfelt thank you to Salisbury School, the children, the teachers, and the faculty for the superb Veterans Recognition tribute that they put on this past Friday afternoon. It was really, really something to behold. If you veterans out there listening have never been there, you should go this year. We had a lot of veterans there, 40-plus, I would say, this year.
Oh, that's phenomenal. That's
a great
program.
It was good. Old guys in World War II outfits, and there was an old SOG guy, SOG guy, Special Operations Group guy there.
Really?
They they're kind of behind the lines activities, which you don't want to know about.
Beautiful.
And it was great. And if you're a veteran and you walked out of there without being proud of yourself and your service, there's something wrong with you, because you did your best, and those national treasures in there, all those little ones, are the reason you went and served your years.
Absolutely, and those kids do a tremendous job.
They sure do.
Chet? Yeah.
Many of you know that I'm a security officer when I'm not at the station, and the school that I've been guarding for the past two school years is Hill and Plain Elementary School in New Milford, and they invited me to their Veterans Day Assembly, and much the same, Larry, it's the high school band came over, they played a lot of that great patriotic music for us. There was about a dozen of us. Some of us were in uniform, some of us weren't. They had me lead the veterans in and out of the gymnasium with the
nice.
American flag, and the little ones, very well behaved, very interested in what we had to share with them. So thank you, Hill and Plain, for that. Yeah. That was very special for me. Thank you.
Well, I think the thing that makes Salisbury so great is they include every single group, every grade, and each grade does a different thing, basically.
Fourth or fifth grade.
Yeah, it's pretty wild to see.
There's tons of little kids there.
Yeah.
They're so innocent, and they don't know the terrible things in this world. It's hard to not have a couple of tears come to your eyes.
Absolutely.
When they're doing this.
Well, I did the first time I witnessed it. All right, good morning. You're live on Hometown Sunday Morning.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you, Deb?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, honey. What's going on?
Well, today's a big day for the two fundraisers for Millerhurst Farm. The first one is from 12 to 5 at the Pine Plains Lions Club. There's going to be live music, 50-50 raffle, silent auction, chicken barbecue, which is pretty much sold out at 400 dinners. But we will also have hamburgers and hot dogs available for sale. And then at 6 o'clock, there's a fundraiser at the Sissing House. So it's going to be a big day in Pine Plains.
It is going to be a big day. And, of course, folks, we're talking about the Millerhurst family who lost their barn there in Ancrum, New York, probably 3 weeks ago now. Lost 40 animals, lost their entire building. And now there's the outpouring of support that the Millerhurst have, the community has shown that family, truly is inspiring to see. Hundreds of thousands of dollars have been raised to help the family. And I think this particular event, the chicken barbecue, now there's a group of, it's a young group that's sponsoring this, right, Debbie? It's the Holstein Club?
Yes, and some friends also. It's not just the Holstein Club.
Right.
But we have over 100 items in the auction.
That's what I heard. But I also heard that the funds that are going to be raised at this chicken barbecue are to send the family on a vacation somewhere where they can just be alone and kind of wrap their head around everything that's happened in their lives in the last few weeks.
I believe that's going to be a small part of what they're going to be getting.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's a good thing, because you really need to get your head above ground.
Yes.
It's got to be devastating. So, once again, if you don't have a barbecue ticket for the chicken barbecue, and this is important, you can go over and bid on all the auction items. And I've heard the auction items are absolutely awesome.
Oh, they are. We've got some custom-made golf clubs. We've got a pedal tractor, a weed whacker. There's, something for everybody there. There's sporting goods stuff. There's stuff for kids.
Yeah, and you can go over and buy a hamburger or hot dog and bid on all those great items.
Sure. So, just because you don't get a chicken doesn't mean you can't come.
Yeah, so I don't know if I'm going to get my chicken or not, Debbie, because you know where my tickets are?
I have them reserved for you. We will have them for you.
Well, give them to Mr. Perotti.
Okay.
If you would. He's going to bring them back for me. Because I thought they were down in Florida with all the other stuff I've moved already.
No.
And I said to Jimmy, I said, I'm not sure I'm going to get a chicken barbecue dinner because I think the tickets are in Florida.
Well, they were in safe hands.
Well, that's a good thing. See, you're pretty smart, Deb.
Now, Deb, they're also still taking donations for the Ancrum Fire Company, right, for the Millerhurst Farm, right?
As far as I know.
Yeah, and that, if people want to know that, it's the Ancrum Fire Company, P.O. Box 114, Ancrum, New York, 12502.
Yes.
All right,
and the
Debbie.
The GoFundMe, last I looked, was at $128,000 when it was set at $20,000.
So they did $100,000 more than what their goal was.
Yes, they did.
That's pretty awesome when you think about it.
Yes, it is.
Wow. Well, I hear that the family is overwhelmed, and rightfully so. I'm sure they would be when they see the outpouring of support. And like Jimmy Perotti was saying yesterday, what's really good about that is there's a big weekend community in that area, in Ankrum and Millerton and in all our areas. And it just means that the weekend folks also love to drive by that farm and see the animals and see the operation going from day to day. And they're showing their support by supporting all these different things that are going on. So that's phenomenal.
Yes, we've had support from weekenders, you know, people that have lived here all their lives. It's not just, you know, dedicated to one group.
Yeah. So who's that little kid in the background? That I think they want you to bid on something for one of the kids.
That's little Charlotte.
That Charlotte wants you to bid on something.
I'm sure she'll want something down there.
All right. Well, I'm sure you're going to bid on it too, right?
Most likely.
Okay. Well, that's good. All right, Debbie. Thank you so much.
Okay. Have a great day.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Once again, 12 to 5 at the Lions Club Pavilion there for the Millerhurst family. Chicken barbecue. And if you don't have a ticket, because they are sold out, they will be selling hamburgers and hot dogs, and you can bid on over 100 items in the silent auction. So that's pretty cool. So good morning.
Good morning.
You're not afraid to talk on the air?
No more.
No more?
Nope.
This is Chad's mom, Cheryl. How are you today? Good?
I'm very well. Yourselves?
What brings you all the way down to Sharon, Connecticut?
I brought you cake.
You did?
I did.
Oh, my God. What kind is it?
It's a vanilla cake, but it looks like tie-dye. I thought that for all of us who actually did wear tie-dye when it was popular.
What's she trying to say to me, Chad?
Yeah, how'd you do this?
Yeah, really.
Oh, it's magic.
I mean, you have to describe it. It's all different colors in the layers.
You can't describe it, or you're colorblind?
Yeah, like no, I can tell it. It's like purple and pinkish and white and green and yellow.
I know it looks very dramatic, but it's very easy to make. Very easy.
Wow.
You just take your cake batter and you divide it into however many colors you want, separate bowls.
Yeah.
Add your color.
Yeah.
And then you just start plopping it in the pan, however it falls, it falls.
Wow.
And it stays separated like that?
Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it comes out. We should take a picture of a slice of it and put it on the Facebook page. We'll do that. It's pretty wild. Thank you so much for doing that.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
It's delicious.
My pleasure.
You notice I'm the first one eating it.
Well, I just had a bite.
Oh, you had
a bite.
Okay.
Yeah, don't be afraid, because you'll probably have four slices. It's okay.
A sugar rush.
Larry and I know what that's about. Don't we, Larry?
Yes, sir.
Your pound cake is delicious, too.
Yes, I make that quite a bit, actually. That, you know, that's it's an easy one to serve, because it's pretty sturdy, you know, so I can take it a lot of different places. But I just wanted to stop quickly and wish you a great retirement, both of you. Enjoy the journey.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. We intend to.
Yeah.
But you know what's really cool? So Cheryl works at my favorite store in the world, Guido's in Great Barrington. So I was talking to Rudy. He's the owner of the meat department there.
Yeah.
And what's kind of unique about Guido's is there's each and every little group in there are really separate business owners.
Yes.
You know, the deli's separate
yes.
From the meat department, and mm-hmm. the vegetables are different from the canned goods. And each and every group has their own little niche in that
right.
store. And
the
that makes
it. The floral department.
Yeah, the floral. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really makes it pretty unique.
The wine
so,
department. Don't forget
yeah,
the wine.
Yeah, the wine. Yeah, they've got an extensive wine collection.
Yeah,
there.
Wine and spirits.
Yeah.
So
Rudy says to me, he asked me when I was moving, I told him, he says, look, he said, when you want some meat, just call me up, I'll vacuum pack it, freeze it, and send it to you overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me.
Where else you can go.
Tell me where else you can go in the world and have mm-hmm. that happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least going to be shipping it from Great Barrington to Florida.
Yes.
And I mean, I know that happens every day. Mm-hmm. But for somebody to offer that to you,
yeah.
it's phenomenal.
Yes.
I mean, you know.
That's all we do. I mean, that's.
It's wild.
You know.
Customer service at its best.
Yes. We always say you could really get anything we have in the store. Probably in other establishments. However, our creed, if you will, is customer service.
Mm-hmm.
Is accommodating, trying to get whatever a customer needs. And we have very knowledgeable staff.
Oh, absolutely.
If you go in our supplement aisle, you know, if the floral department, as you say, the meat, the fish department, they're all not only there to serve the public, but they're extremely knowledgeable. If you have a question about anything, if we don't have the answer, we will seek it out for you.
And yes. You know what else is nice? You see Mr. Guido there all the time.
Yeah,
the
Matt is
son.
There.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
and actually, Luke, who is our front-end manager now, that's starting the second generation.
Oh, is it really?
Yes.
So he's a Guido?
Luke is Matt's son.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes. You wouldn't. They're so unassuming.
No, really?
Anna is in the other in the Pittsfield store, who is Chris's daughter. Nick is also Matt's son. He's working in the Pittsfield store right now. Ben is Chris's son. He does a lot of the artwork for our new... we have a monthly flyer. He's actually doing the artwork. So they're all taking turns learning different aspects.
Of the business, yeah.
Yeah, and actually some of them have left. Nick went to Napa Valley for the year to learn how to make wine. They have gone out and then come back with new knowledge. So they're the second generation.
Nice.
And they're starting to have manager meetings, just them, just the second generation. So they've got a lot of great ideas.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so it will definitely continue, and hopefully Matt and Chris can enjoy and sit back a little bit.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the mm-hmm. cake and
your
support over the years.
Well, I've enjoyed my conversations with you.
Oh, it's always been fun.
Mm-hmm. And with Larry?
Without a doubt.
Yes.
Yeah, the answer is yes.
Of course.
This is going to be a happy show today,
it is.
Paul.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll just give you a heads up.
Yeah. So I'm headed out now. I have to get back to Canaan because VFW has got a busy day today.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
The Doughboy at 11.
Yeah.
And then people will be trickling in during the day. We have a table set up with food for them. And then at 6 o'clock this evening, we do the spaghetti dinner.
Right, and that's all free to veterans.
All free, yes.
Yeah.
Anyone Kirk, is welcome.
Kirk came in last week and talked about it, and he's great. But that
yes.
They've got some very special guests that are going to be at the Doughboy, right, that are coming back?
They
Isn't
usually
that what he said?
Do.
Yeah.
I don't know specifically who will
yeah.
be there.
Yeah.
Is it Isidore Tadiello?
I think it was a World War II guy, right? Yeah, the mm-hmm. oldest, is it the oldest member of the post mm-hmm. or whatever? Yeah. But, I mean, that's
I think we're talking about Isidore Tadiello, one of the very last survivors of the Pearl Harbor attack, actually.
Yeah, that's what he said last week.
So he's going to be in attendance, and you can get to go to talk to somebody that was in World War II. Absolutely. You know, much like the lady that just called, Deb Phillips, her father was in World War II. And Larry and I talked to him. We went and listened at a class over in Pine Plains. Just one of their classes at this high school is for war history. Mm-hmm. And he went as a World War II veteran and spoke at this, to this class, and we were invited, Larry and I. And I've got to tell you, he did an outstanding job for somebody in their 90s. He was right on it, you know, he's right on his A game, even though he's elderly.
Right.
And, you know, you talked about trenches in World War One.
Right.
We still had a lot of trenches in World War II because one of the things he talked about was the diseases they got on their feet from being in the water and in the muck and in these trenches all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. And it had to be even more horrific in World War One than it was in World War Two because the medical care had come a little bit further. But
still.
And it's when you get to talk to a World War II guy that still is with it. It truly is a history lesson for sure.
So I happen to be surrounded by Marines.
Yeah, how's that feel?
My son.
Yeah.
My stepson. My husband. My ex-husband. All Marines.
Wow. So you're a girl that just likes Marines.
Well, I don't think I purposely set out.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't
it just
believe
happened.
So. It just happened
that
way.
Well, that makes me feel better, knowing that you didn't just go out hunting Marines down. All right.
So, I do. I personally want to thank them all for their service.
No, absolutely, especially on this day, the 100th anniversary.
And yesterday was Marine Corps birthday as well.
Oh, God, that's right.
Jeez. Yes.
How many times have we done that on here? Mm-hmm. That's pretty wild. Yeah. It's always the day before Veterans Day, isn't it?
It's the 10th.
It's the 10th.
Yeah.
How'd I forget that? How'd you forget that? You were supposed to do the troop tribute.
What's that?
All right, well, Cheryl, once again, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure. And as I said, enjoy the journey.
We will. Mm-hmm. All right, so with that being said, we're going to play a couple of troop tribute songs, and then that'll take us to the top of the hour, and then we'll be back with more Hometown Sunny Morning here right on Robin Hood Radio.
Sometimes I think about how lucky I am to live where I do, yeah, and to be what I can, and to know that you're mine when I'm holding you close, and to never forget what matters the most. Yeah. Oh. So much more than I deserve. I'm gonna live every day like it's my last. Baby, I'll always put you first. I'm on the run with the wind behind me. Have fun when the sun is shining, and stop when the world reminds me. I got to take the time to pray and fight for the right to be free. Smile at what my children might be, and live with you beside me all of my dying. We'll be right back. and I pick my battles, not to be afraid and fight for the right to be free. Smile at what my children might be and live with you beside me all of my dying day. Oh, I'm gonna run with the wind behind me, have fun when the sun is shining, and stop when the world reminds me I've got to take the time.
What I tell everyone, I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place where the stars and stripes and the eagle flies. It's a big old land with countless dreams. Happiness ain't out of reach. Hard work pays off the way it should. Yeah, I've seen enough to know that we've got it good. Where the stars and the stripes and the eagle fly. There's a lady that stands in a harbor for what we this flag. And if that bothers you, well, that's too bad. But if you got pride and you're proud, you do. Hey, we could use some more like me and you. Where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. On earth, but it's the only place that I prefer to love my wife and raise my kids. Hey, the same way that my daddy did. Where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. Where the stars and stripes.
It is Veterans Day, and this is Hometown Sunday Morning, the final show for NASCAR Day. Of a reminder, Sharon Fire Department has their pancake breakfast going on at the firehouse today until 10:30. Also going on today, Veterans Day services conducted at 11 o'clock at the Kent Veterans Memorial Monument on Maple Street. And, of course, you heard about things going on for Millerhurst Farm and also going on at Canaan VFW. Now, Dave, we've got to take a few minutes before the top of the hour because we have quite a few messages that have come in on the Internet, okay?
Yeah.
And I want to read them to you. Now, this is because this is about you, your wife and your family and what you've put together here, not only with Hometown Sunday Morning, but the original show, Sunday in the Country. It spanned three different radio stations, WKZE,
Q103, and now Robinhood Radio. From Tom Palinkas, congratulations, Dave. Thank you for all you've done for the Berlinghoff Memorial Fund throughout the years. We owe you a tremendous debt of gratitude. The good that you've done for your community is immeasurable. Best of luck. We'll raise a cold one to a long and happy retirement. Unidentified Facebook user, you have spread joy wherever you go. I worship all the time spent working with you, helping others with the food drive. I thank you for all the laughs, and I've learned more than I ever thought I could about car racing along the way. Godspeed, my friend. Shannon Fletcher, we miss you dearly, Dave. Shannon Malark, best of luck to you and Chris as you start a new journey. Just a regular congratulations from a Facebook user. David, your wonderful deeds will be remembered by many. Your service to those in need has always been five-star. Enjoy your next adventure. Kathy Stahovic, happy retirement, Chris and Dave. We will miss you both. You both are two of the most giving people that I know. Darren Reed, Dave, thank you for all that you've done for our community, and thank you for being the outstanding person you are. Enjoy your well-earned retirement. You definitely deserve it. Pat O'Connell, congratulations and good luck on your retirement. Diane Schultz-Hosier, happy retirement. Casey Corner-Swift, happy trails. Thank you for everything. You will be missed. Joanne McGivern-Robinson, wishing you the best of the best of luck and your retirement. Thea, remember Thea?
I do.
Dave, happy retirement, NASCAR, to you and you also, Chris. Helen Chase Brandt, I wish Dave and Chris a happy retirement. Thank you for all you've done for our community. Liz Cooper, I will miss you two. Thank you for everything you've done over the years. Douglas Murray, longtime listener. Mr. NASCAR and his motley but hometown crew always make me smile and leave me feeling proud of my community. Thank you. Then just other thank yous that have come in. From Jeff Dunlevy, Susan Shepard, Roberta Willis, John Mark, Tracy Wilcock, Brian Oler, Carol Statz. I mean, the list goes on and on. I just wanted to make sure I passed them along to you. That's just up to the moment right now.
Well, thank you so much for all those well wishes. And kind of overwhelmed you.
You overwhelmed us, Dave, with your service over the past 25, 30 years.
Well, I look at it this way. For all those out there sending me well wishes, the listeners are what have made NASCAR Dave, to be quite honest with you. We're just the venue to get some things done, and without all those fine people that just sent all those messages of folks that have called or my underwriters or all the folks that have supported what we've done, whether it be the food drive or fundraisers for a dog or this and that and the other thing. I'm truly, my wife and I are truly humble because we had a lot of fun doing this for 25 years. So thank you for the well wishes, and don't think that we're leaving the community forever. This community is going to be in our hearts forever. And, you know, with today's technology, you can be in touch with each other instantly. And I want everybody to know that if they're not getting through to Marshall, or they're not getting their point across to different folks, my phone line is always open. And I'll go as far as calling Butch Anderson if I have to have the sheriff come out and arrest you. But, no, thank you very much for all those well wishes.
You got just three more that came in. Bill Ammerman, you're going to be missed, NASCAR Dave. Good luck in your retirement. And John Parati, of course, we all know John. NASCAR Dave rocks. We're going to miss you. And Chris.
John Parati.
It's not a Parati. He's a Parati.
Right, because he lives
in Connecticut.
He's from Connecticut. Good morning. You're live on Hometown Sunday Morning.
Then, from the first time I met you guys and said, who are these characters up until you're leaving for retirement, Dave?
Patio, we were talking about earlier on the show going to Walter Reed, and you and Randy headed up the cooking crew. Let me tell you what, did we not learn a lot and enjoy ourselves on that trip?
Oh, that was still good. Like you choked up while you were cooking. You were laughing, crying, smiling. Awesome time, and learned a lot from them guys. They were thanking us, and we're there to thank them.
Yeah.
And Patio, how about this? Would people like Patio and I have met if it wasn't for NASCAR Dave? I mean, the people that Dave brought from different forms of life and formed other friendships are just absolutely, it's just astounding.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just jotted some stuff down while I was listening to you guys earlier. And like I said, from the first one of the first times I met that good friend of mine, became good friends of mine, Randy, doing a chicken dance with an outfit, chicken outfit, on 22 there. And you being handcuffed to the diner booth.
Oh, yeah. Dickett. He was a beauty.
But those are just things we did, and people just laugh, and we made their day or their week or whatever. And then, you know, I mean, we went from doing NASCAR trips to the Washington trip a couple times, and countless fundraisers that you did and helped us get going for kids with cancer, chicken barbecue, Swaza, you know, and obviously Sunday in the Country Food Drive is where it all started. Excuse me, but you've done a lot of stuff for the community from Patterson through Connecticut right up to Columbia County, and you did a lot, helped a lot of people there, Dave.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Patio, and I appreciate the call. And over the years, I've appreciated all your support that you've shown us for what we do. I certainly, like I said just now, I'm humbled by it all.
Yeah, it's awesome. Just listening is bringing back a lot of good memories. But with that being said, I have to throw you under the bus one last time on the radio.
Okay.
All right. Like I said, we went on a fishing trip.
And you're a bum. You know what? You're a bum.
What? To hear you yell, help, help, and not know what the noise was at wee hours of the morning, and to pull you out of a bucket that was in the middle of a stream, a 55-gallon bucket, cut in half, was hilarious.
Yeah, and then I fell in a drink the next morning.
Yeah, I fell in the lake. In the lake, and Jason and I got you out.
Oh, my God.
You were cut up, banged up, and I don't even think you touched the fishing pole. That was the funny thing.
I didn't.
So, but yeah, just great, great, great memories. I had to say that. I had to throw it. I didn't wake up in the wee hours of the morning, and all I see is your stinky jacket with the pond, the lake storm, and the seaweed on it, and you're gone.
All right, that's not a problem, Patio, anytime.
And the Parati in his underwear in NASCAR. Actually, the last one I had to say.
Oh, yeah, down in Dover.
So, times, a lot of fundraising, made a lot of people's days and weeks and holidays. So, thanks again for everything.
All right, Patio, thanks for the call. All right, now, we have Reverend Betsy on.
Real quick before, yep. just three more. Garma Waldron.
Yep.
Dave Waldron's wife, of course. Thank you, Dave and Chris, from the bottom of my heart for all that you've done for this community and for being good friends to Dave and myself and our family. Rob Reamer, David, your wonderful deeds will be remembered by many. Your service to those in need has always been five-star. Enjoy your next adventure. Okay.
Okay, Reverend Betsy from Food of Life Pantry in
Armenia.
I pulled that right off the top of my head.
Nice going, Dave. Nice.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. I know you're limited because you've got to go do a service.
I do. I'm on my way to the service, but I could not pass up the opportunity to stop by. And thank you for all you've done for the whole community, but especially for Food of Life Food Pantry. You know, I'm happy to say you've been doing this for 25 years, and I've been with you almost half of that.
Yeah, isn't that something?
I'm going to be there 12 years. And you were instrumental in helping us start our food pantry and get the Thanksgiving baskets going and the Christmas baskets, and you've just always been such a support, and we're going to miss you terribly, and we are so grateful for everything you've done.
Well, thank you very much. But the other thing is, you're retiring next week also.
I am.
And so what are you going to do in your retired life?
Well, I'm moving away from parish work and to do some consulting with parishes that are struggling, and to do some clergy coaching.
Good for you.
For clergy who are in transition. And I think I might spend a little more time with my husband.
Oh, wouldn't that be unique?
That's right.
I think it's going to be scary for me. Because we don't see each other that often.
Yeah, well, my husband's not retired yet, so I don't think it's quite that scary.
So, Reverend Betsy, I'm sure your congregation and the folks that come to your food pantry, who's Who's going to step into your shoes?
Well, actually, the food pantry hums along beautifully. We have a tremendous food pantry coordinator named Dennis Freeman, who is one of these people that gets the heart of the mission, who understands what it is we're about, and also loves inventory. He loves organizing.
Good for him.
So if that isn't an answer to prayer, I don't know what is.
No, absolutely.
And he's terrific and really loves what he does and creates a tremendous atmosphere there, just as all the other food pantry coordinators that we've had did as well. And the people of – the thing that really makes St. Thomas so extraordinary are the people that go there. It's a community that is completely committed to the good of the broader community. And they understand their mission, they're focused on it, they're committed to it, and they will carry this along seamlessly. And whoever the next priest is who comes there is a lucky, lucky priest to get
those
people.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, you've taken it so far in your tenure there that not only do you do the food pantry, and that's one of the nicest food pantries in the tri-state area, because you walk in there, it's like going to a grocery store because all the shelves are stocked. But also, you took it a step further and made a community garden on the property of St. Thomas
there. Right, our giving garden, right.
Yeah, and I mean, that's pretty unique. And
well, you know, we saw the need of the neighbors who were coming to the food pantry was nutrition.
Right.
And so much of the nutritious food in the supermarkets is not affordable. So we grow these fresh vegetables to give out at the food pantry. And that has kind of grown exponentially, where farms in the area now drop off their extras. And the Long Table Harvest, which collects from all the other farms, brings their extras. But just at our garden this year, we grew over 2,500 pounds of vegetables.
Wow.
And
so, I mean, and you know what? That's something that I think we've helped along the road, too, because we've promoted all that stuff.
That's right.
Because, you know, food pantries for years have notoriously been on the nutrition part of giving food items out instead of just, you know, things that aren't healthy for you.
Mm-hmm.
And when we start talking about the farmer markets giving you food or the local farmers, I mean, that just takes the folks that are in need in such a different direction that otherwise wouldn't happen.
That's
and
right.
And so, you know what, it points them in a different direction.
And because of shows like yours and the work you do, I mean, if anybody knows, we're on Leedsville Road, 40 Leedsville Road in Amenia. Our location is not our strongest suit. We're kind of tucked away, and we're hard to find. And we depend on things like this show and word of mouth and the newspapers and everyone who so generously promotes it so that people can find us and really benefit from the nutrition that's available to them there.
Now, how many folks do you usually how many folks come in on a Friday? Your pantry's on Friday.
It's every Friday from 3 to 5, and people can come every week. They can come every week no matter what. It's gone up, actually. In the past several months, we've seen quite a spike. So we're feeding about 160 to 165 people a week. And we give out 9 meals per person. We give out 3 days' worth of food. So that's almost 1,500 meals
a week.
That's
incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It is. And they're meals that include meat and dairy and bread and fresh vegetables and sometimes some treats, like cakes or donuts or things that
nice.
We get from the local donations, but it's a full meal, and we make sure that there's a spectrum of nutrition
good
that's given out.
Well, keep up the good work, and I wish you well in your retirement.
Thank you. Enjoy Florida.
All right. You have a great day.
Thanks
Thank you so much.
Much
for coming in.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break. It's
top of the hour.
It's right. Just about the top of the hour.
I broke
Chad,
all my, I
Chad, 10:08 is good. We're at the top of the hour. Goodbye, Reverend Betsy.
I broke all my rules.
You did break every rule in the book. We're going to spank you.
All right, here's the top of the hour ID, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
Robin Hood Radio is WHDD AM and FM Sharon, WBSL FM Sheffield, and WLHV FM Annandale on Hudson.
The smallest NPR station in the nation.
Quite yet, but close. That is Mary Chapin Carpenter in Quitting Time. It is the final of the final show for Hometown Sunday Morning and NASCAR Dave. A couple more comments. Greg Dass and Marianne Halley say goodbye. Bumpa Akjar, Tracy Carmichael Rand, and more. So far, we have 865 likes on the picture of you, Dave, for what you've done here for the past 25, 30 years.
Wow. Is there any reason you had to put my face up there?
Yeah, there is. You're just it's amazing what you've done over the past years. And you know who's on the phone now, of course, right?
Yeah, of course. I hope it's my buddy Willie Hallahan because, you know, it's already 10:13. All right, so, Marshall, what is your rule with him?
11 minutes.
11 or 12 minutes so we can get it in on the morning show.
Good morning, Willie. You're live on Hometown Sunday Morning.
Good morning, Dave, Chris, all of you folks.
I'm still in charge, Willie, not to worry.
That's right. I know. I'm going to forgo my usual litany of events. I will mention that there are four Thanksgiving Day races coming up. I think that's appropriate given your work, feeding families at holiday time. And if anybody wants details, they know where to go, right?
Supporting a cause.
Yeah, thanks. But I do want to add my 2 cents to what other people have been saying, and I promise it'll be 2 cents, not the usual buck and a half worth that you get. this day is so deserving of comment. I'm thinking back several months, I guess, now, when the Sunday in the Country Food Drive hosted that that great reception for you and Chris. It was so deserving. People got up one after another and spoke about what you all meant to the program. It's very founding, its growth, all the people it served over the years and continues to. And I remember saying that in addition to all that, as if that weren't enough, there was so much more that you've done that needed to be mentioned. You know, from where you're sitting there right now behind that microphone, you've promoted and shed light on so many worthy events and causes and charities. And what you did is you've made each one important. I said at that reception, I'll say it again, you've done so much for so many and for so long that we just can't know how far the goodness of your work has traveled. I can't speak for all those people, of course, but I can speak for SWASA, for the directors and volunteers. And you know, thank you so much for what you and the radio station have done for us over the years. And personally, I guess all I can say is a very, very inadequate thank you for everything. You know, God bless you both. Travel safe, and you take care. You know, I hope to see you again sometime. You know, I need to hear that.
Well, I'm not. I want everybody to know that I'm not falling off the face of the earth just because I'm relocating to Florida.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Do people realize that on any given day of the week, you can be from Florida back to New York State in 2.5 hours? Probably 4.5 if Pat Dineen picks you up.
Why are you holding that thread over our head?
So, I mean, it's not like I'm going to fall off the face of the earth. And I want everybody to know this. My mother-in-law, who I love like my own mother, is currently at Noble Horizons. Our goal is to find a home similar to Noble Horizons where she gets the same care as Noble Horizons and get her down there ASAP. Now, with that being said, she and I and Chris have talked about it. It means that it'll probably be in the springtime, March or April, when we get settled in and start researching homes. I know I've researched it, and I know that there's places down there similar to Noble with the same type care. So I know that that's going to happen looking down the road. But in the meantime, there'll still be some things where I'll have to come back and forth. And even after we all moved down there, I want everybody to know that this has been my home for 64 years, the tri-state area. So just because I'm going to go down and relax a little bit or do something a little bit different, you, like my wife says, don't ever forget where you come from. And that saying is so true. And I'm never going to forget where I came from. And I'm never going to forget how folks like you and SWASA and hundreds of others have made me feel that I'm somebody special.
Well, you are.
Because I'm not anybody special. I'm just doing what I think is right for mankind. And that's what everybody needs to do. Everybody needs to give back in one way or the other, and they can do that best by never forget where they've come from. Because when people forget where they come from, they don't do anything in a positive way. So don't ever forget where you come from.
Well said.
So with that being said, Willie, I feel comfortable in my last show. Because I know I've made inroads in a community spirit through Marshall Miles and through now you and Jeannie Salader, who are going to continue to do good things for the tri-state community. And I know that you three have already set up plans to do interviews and keep the tri-state involved with what's going on in our community that I feel totally comfortable leaving. Will I miss coming in here every Sunday? Yeah. But for 26 years or 25 years and a half to be a volunteer, I've used a lot of time, but and it's all been fun time. I have fun. What could be better today, Willie?
Really? Really?
I'm going to tell you what. This is the best thing that could ever happen to anybody in the world.
And for us, too.
No.
Thanks to you.
I've got cake and ice cream. Thanks to Cheryl, I have cake to eat with my ice cream.
It's not
what could be better
anymore
than that? I mean, if you look at a real world, poor old Paul's shaking his head over there.
Yeah.
You got to hit. It's too bad we couldn't be televised. Anyway, Willie, go ahead. Tell us about those turkey runs because you know what? There's a lot of fundraising that goes on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, there is, and they're of course because they're on my site. They are all fundraisers. I have one at least in each state of our tri-state coverage. There's in Rhinebeck Thanksgiving morning. There's the Ferncliff Forest 5K that benefits the preservation of that preserve. It's a beautiful place. The Goshen Turkey Trot that's been going on forever is over at the fairgrounds in Goshen. That's a 10K run, and the proceeds benefit a bunch of local charities. There's a turkey trot at Arlington High School over in LaGrange, and that benefits the United Way and the food bank. And one more, there's a thankful 5K that the Berkshire Running Center, the store up in Pittsfield, hosts on Thanksgiving morning. That will benefit the Autism Connection, which is an organization that benefits people suffering from autism. All four of the races are early in the morning, so you can, if you're a runner, you can enjoy the race, enjoy a little bit of camaraderie, and then head home in plenty of time for your holiday plans. So,
wow.
Yeah, they're
that's
all
a,
really
you
good.
Know what? That's so awesome that those things happen because it's number one, it raises funds for a lot of good causes, but it's good to get people out and get them in the fresh air and get them moving around before they eat that fabulous turkey dinner.
Yeah, that's right. You and I should probably get into those too, but in neither case is that going to happen.
No, no. I mean, we can think about it. We'll go and support them. That's all.
Yeah, there you go.
We can do that for sure.
I'm going to get off the air because I'm sure you got a lot of people who want to come on and thank you in their own way. But thanks again, both of you. God bless you again, and have a safe trip down and. You better let me know when you're coming up. Please do that.
I certainly will, Willie. And I want to thank you for all the support over the years. We got involved with SWAS, and I don't even remember how that all took place.
I don't either. It's been so long.
Yeah, it has been long. I think it was because I was talking on the radio about how hard it is for nonprofits to raise funds, and in my mind I thought the right thing to say was, because I believe this, is that everybody has to share the wealth in a tri-state area. Yeah. Yeah, it's not like you're down in New York City where you have millions of people to draw from. Up here we have limited access to trying to raise funds locally, and I thought the way to go was as more and more nonprofits and more people were doing fundraisers, a lot of times you can combine an event so that you're not stepping on each other's toes and taking away from both groups. You can combine and just share the wealth. And SWASA was instrumental with jumping on board. And if I remember right, that's how we really started our relationship, because I think we were offered to do the Friday night at the ski jumps in the cook shack. And that started what has become a very good relationship, not only for the food drive, but for you guys, because you have limited resources with labor and so forth. But you guys were so, your group, men and women, were so great. Gracious to ask us to try to help you and share the wealth, it kind of opened the floodgates, because a lot of different folks raising funds now seem to do that.
Well, it's been a common theme for us, hasn't it, over the years?
It has been.
A notion of collaboration and mutual benefit, and we're all in this together. Yeah, it comes up often, and I hope you're right. I know we've benefited from those unions, especially with you.
Well, and, you know, Donna Lloyd called in earlier, and
yeah.
I'm sure you heard her.
I did.
And you have a similar situation with her, with the Jane Lloyd Fund. Mm-hmm. You offer your facility and this and that, and, I mean, it's just, and this has been now for 6 or 7 years, 8 years. It's the wave of the future, because if you look at people trying to do fundraisers on weekends, it's only 4 weekends a month. We've got 10 or 15 towns in a tri-state area, if you look at the whole tri-state area.
Yeah.
So you've got to pick and choose where you're going to go and show your support. I mean, if you got two of them together, you could support two at one time. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But, and hopefully, it's starting to grow in this area, and hopefully it continues to grow. But it's because of you guys to start that, to think outside the box and say, okay, let's share some of our wealth. We've got 200 or 300 people coming in on a Friday night. They need to be fed burgers and dogs and some sodas and stuff like that. Why don't we ask Sunny and a Country Food Drive if they'd like to man the cook shack? You know, so that's how it all starts.
Well, good things happen in our area because it's populated by good people.
Absolutely.
Simple as that. Well, you take care, my friend.
All right, Willie, and I'll be in touch with you, not to worry.
You better.
All right.
Take care.
As always, good job. SportingACause.com. Interesting, Marshall. I went to my doctor's office, who I'm going to miss dearly, to Dr. Michael Parker, right here on Upper Main Street.
I think we have another call real quick.
Okay. Good morning. You're live on Hometown Sunday Morning.
Good morning, Dave. It's Pfeiffer.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Who's this?
5 foot.
It's your best friend, Paul.
It's your best friend, Paul.
Hey, bud. Listen, I got two things. Okay. One on a serious note.
Yeah.
From my heart, I agree with everybody that wrote in, the 800 people. You're the best. You and Chris done so much. We all miss you, for sure. But on another hand, though, because you do so much, I would like to ask you one last favor, if you would do it for me.
I'll do the best I can.
All right, can you go down to New Jersey and pick up Moo Moo Lady on Wednesday?
Sure. I'm not doing nothing else. I might as well go to New Jersey.
Come on, you got nothing on your plate, do you?
No, not at all.
Pat, I'll let him go.
She'll be in Moo Moo. You just get in there, stop at the first stop, get her a coffee, and get her ass home.
I'll make sure he does it, Pat.
All right. Well, seriously, on the serious note, once again, you know how much we all love you and what you did, and you're going to be greatly missed. And thank you very much for all you did for the community and me too.
Thank you.
Love
Pat.
You guys. Pat, enjoy retirement.
We love you more. That's so sweet. I so appreciate that. I'm in tears.
Yeah, me too, bud. But
all
listen,
right.
Enjoy the rest of the show. You got a lot of people that love you, bud. You've been great for the community, and you'll be great for Leedsburg. Now, do we call you a Floridian or a Snowbird? What do we call you, Floridian now, or what do we do?
You can just call me NASCAR Day.
All right.
All right.
All right, guys. Love you guys.
Love you too, Pat. Oh.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Wow. Yeah. That's a pretty cool one right there. You understand, Marshall, I didn't really know him going through high school because I didn't go to Housatonic. So I followed Pat Dineen because he was a huge part of an American Legion baseball team coached by Fred Amerie that went to a state championship. He was an outstanding athlete. And I followed him then. When I moved to Millerton, when Chris and I moved to Millerton in 78, I think it was, we lived two houses from his dad, and I got to become friends with his dad. And then I didn't really know him then, and I really don't know how we ever really hooked up, but I'm so glad that we did, because we have become fast friends. I would consider him my best friend. We hang out a lot together. We get a lot accomplished together. A lot of what I do is because of what he does for me. I couldn't think of a more honest and generous person to call a friend, because I never really knew him. I didn't know him growing up like I did you, for instance, Marshall. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, so. You talked about that baseball team. Tony Oswarek, who was a pitcher on that team, had a story in the Lakeville Journal. They went not only to the state finals, they went to the Northeast finals that year. Fred Amerigi was the coach. Andy Russo was a coach player. Pat Dineen was the third baseman. And Pat can call back and tell you if I'm lying, but at Muzzy Field, in one game, Pat Dineen, for whatever reason, had an intestinal problem. And he was playing third base. He was a vital part of the team. And he had to keep going to the bathroom every inning. And he played a hell of a game. He might have been the MVP of the tournament. There's a rule that was made when you're playing now tournament baseball in Connecticut. They had a game that went till like 1 o'clock in the morning, and that is now prohibited because of that game that they played down there. But we used to follow that team. Doc Bartlett, a legend in baseball. Doc Bartlett Field in Aminia.
Yep.
That team had a following that was amazing. The MacArthur brothers were on it. My brother was on it. Bob Chatfield was on it. Every time Fred Amerigi would get excited, he would stand up to yell at the umpire, and this is no lie. Because with dugouts, you're down low and you've got a roof, and you step out of the dugout. He would always get so excited. He must have hit his head that summer, I'd say 20 times on the dugout. But that's how I really got to know Pat Dineen really well. I mean, I knew him in high school because he was a friend of my brother. But following that team around and all those guys, they were like the Yankees. They were just
absolutely
a roughshod bunch of great guys and had fun playing ball.
Oh, they had an absolute ball.
Yeah.
You know, Ray McEnroe, believe it or not, was on that team. And they tell stories down at one of our underwriters at the Sharon Valley Tavern about, I think they won a game somewhere. It was an away game, and they got all happy and carrying on, and they kept taking their jerseys off and throwing them out the car window on their way home. And poor Freddie Riggy followed them, was in the back of them, and he kept having to stop and pick all these clothes up.
It was an amazing.
Oh my God!
It was an amazing team to follow.
They used to drive him absolutely nuts. I don't know how he lived as long as he did, Fred.
But it was just one of those things. So when you talk about Pat, I think back at that team and all the crazy. They were the New York Yankees before the New York Yankees were the New York Yankees.
Yeah. Well, the only thing he remembers is putting that banana in your ear.
No, he didn't even remember that.
Well, he knows it now, though, because he talks to everybody about it. Right, Paul?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's absolutely threatening people with more bananas.
He's threatening that to everybody at Cumberland Farms.
I didn't understand the story. Did he say Pat is always bumping his head against the dugout?
No, this was another guy. No.
Fred Amerigi, the coach of the team.
Yeah, okay. No, he was phenomenal.
Yeah, Fred was a great guy.
All right, let's play a tune here, Marshall. I just need a break for a minute. Once again, thanks for listening to Hometown Sunday Morning here on Robin Hood Radio.
Thank y'all very much. Okay, Dallas, I want to play y'all a song now that I got to say it's one of my favorite songs that I've ever recorded. For a lot of reasons, but it paints the perfect picture of what it's like growing up in the country. And in East Tennessee, it was no different for me. It's called Back Where I Come From. I hope y'all enjoy this.
In the town where I was raised, the clock ticks and the cattle graze. Time passed with amazing grace back where I come from. You can lie on a riverbank, paint your name on a water tank, discount all the beers you drank back where I come from. I know who made the moon shine too, back where I come from. Blue eyes on a Saturday night, tan legs in the broad daylight. TVs, they were black and white, back where I come from. Some say it's a backward place, narrow minds on the narrow ways. But I make it a point to say that's where I come from.
online. It is Hometown Sunday Morning. And Larry, put your headset on. I'm sorry, I asked you to come
excuse me.
All right, well, it's Hometown Sunday Morning, the final show. Before I get to the Sharon Fire Department Ambulance Squad Pancake Breakfast goes on.
No, it's over.
It's over.
Forget that.
It's over.
We'll take that. We'll throw that one away. But we've got, let's see this. Get rid of this one. We got that one's going to get away. We've got the Millerhurst Farm Benefits. The chicken barbecue just about sold out, taking place from noon until 5 p.m. at the Pine Plains Lion Club Pavilion. And then Stissing House tonight holding a benefit for the Millerhurst Farm at 6 p.m. At this right there. And they've got their benefit T-shirt sale that goes on. And also, if you mind, let me make a donation to GoFundMe.com. Millerhurst Farm Fire Tragedy is still set up. And also, you can make a check payable to the Millerhurst Fire Tragic Fund, Ankrum Fire Company, P.O. Box 114, Ankrum, New York, 12502. And the Stockbridge Grange has a public corned beef and cabbage dinner today. That is going on at 1 o'clock.
Wow. A lot of stuff going on. That's all good stuff, though.
Now, I want you to know, Dave, I got a couple more messages for you here. Linda Cole Orlowski, best wishes to Dave and Chris. Enjoy your retirement and good health and warmth to Florida. You both will be sorely missed. And Morgan Heath Fontaine says thank you. And right now, Dave, we're up to 1,074 people that have checked in on the goodbye card to you. So.
Wow. Linda Orlowski. I don't know if my wife's listening in the other room. She's in the green room, Paul. You know where the green room is?
No. Do you want me to go there?
No, I was just checking. Oh, you're right there. Okay, I didn't.
Bill Roberts is calling in on the wrong line. He's calling in on the other line.
It's his first time.
Oh, yeah. Bill, 860-364-5141. 860-364-5141.
All right, so I've got a guest in the studio, Marshall.
Uh-huh.
George? Good morning, George
Good
Kay.
Good morning, Dave.
Supervisor of Town of Northeast, by the way.
And I'm here on behalf of the Town of Northeast.
Well, first of all, I've got to tell you, since you've taken that job,
Yes. You've
gotten quite gray.
I wonder why.
I don't know what that means.
I can't figure out what it is either.
Did you age that fast?
I think anybody who gets into this job is going to be gray by the time they're done.
Right. Well, thank you for coming in, George. I appreciate it.
Not at all, Dave, but I would just like to present you a plaque from the Town of Northeast and the people of the Town of Northeast.
Come here, Chris.
And it says, in part here, NASCAR Dave McMillan, in recognition of your tireless commitment of bringing holiday joy through the provision of turkey dinners to the less fortunate, the Northeast Town Board expresses its deep appreciation and gratitude. And, Dave, we could only get this amount on here, the verbiage. But there's so many other things that we could say to you, and really, we want to express our deep appreciation for what you've done for the area and the community, not just for the turkey dinners, in all aspects. You've brought a great deal to the community. Raised our awareness of many different things that are going on. You have brought, especially today on Veterans Day, for the local community, bringing cheer to the veterans here, myself and Larry included. And I want to express our deep appreciation for that.
Well, thank you so much. And I want to say thank you for your service to the country. George, because I know that you're a veteran and you served in the Vietnam era, and it just it humbles me to. I never had the opportunity to serve because I didn't volunteer. But for those of all those folks, men and women that do that day in and day out, you folks are. One in a million in my book. And I certainly appreciate the plaque from the Town of Northeast. I had no idea that I reached board level recognition on a local basis, and
that's, go beyond that.
That's nice. Well, thank you so much, George. I appreciate it.
Not at all.
Wow. Beautiful.
Dave, you're going to need a wall in your new home for
I know.
All these plaques and these letters of appreciation. And
I'm going to. Wow. I guess we want beyond three listeners. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Kathy and Jim Hosier just sent in a message. We wish you all the best in the next chapter of your lives. We have frost on the ground here, but I'm sure there isn't frost in Florida yet.
Well, I've got to tell you, let's just say one thing about Jim and Kathy Hosier. Now, they've been a supporter of Sunday in a Country Food Drive since its inception 25 years ago or 26 years ago now. I'm going to tell you what, and to this day, they're still one of the first checks that we get in the mail each and every year, Sunday in a Country Food Drive, with their annual donation to the food drive. I mean, you know, it's when you move and you retire and you move out of the community, there's a couple that still have moved away and support their community in more ways than one. They support the food drive. They send hundreds of dollars of merchandise to the auxiliary at the American Legion in Millerton when they do their chili cook-off each and every year, NASCAR memorabilia and stuff like that. And there's a family, in my mind, that have never forgotten where they've came from, even though they're in a different spot right now. And I hope they've blazed a trail for me and my wife to move on to sunny skies, but still never forget the town of Northeast in the tri-state area, and try to be giving back to this community. They've blazed the way, and that's what it's all about. Truly, it is. I mean that sincerely. And when you can say that somebody supported your organization for 26 years, I mean that's incredible. I mean it's like. One of our underwriters is Dave's TV. They were one of the first underwriters to ever come on board with any station, any of the three stations that I was on, whether it be KZE, Q103, or WHDD. They've always been with me. Dave's TV, right there. I love their underwriting announcement. No need to go to the big box store. Because they give you the personal service that you need. Good morning. You're live on Hometown Sunday Morning.
Good morning, Dave.
Hey, Billy.
How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing good.
I heard you had some ice cream and cake.
Yeah, what could be better than that, Billy?
Wow.
I told my wife about the ice cream after the flags. And then Jim came in and wanted phone numbers. I thought that was quite funny.
We always bring up.
Oh boy! Well, that's a good deal. You're sitting pretty. just a couple of things. Obviously, there's a lot of stories that go on with the food drive, and it would take more than one ice cream and a show to tell them all. It's been a lot of fun, and I've enjoyed it. And I know that you enjoyed it immensely. There's ups and downs with everything, but it's a lot more up than it is down. So the Sunday the Country Food Drive lives on, and I don't even know carry that on. I will say this, that when we decided to take this over a year ago, and we've been counting time here, so we've been involved for, you know, we've taken over for a year already. But you said, and the reason, one of the reasons, you know, is we believe in the cause, obviously. But the other thing is we agreed to take it over as long as you are a spokesperson. So I know you're going down to Florida, but you're still going to be our spokesperson, so... As you've been telling people this morning, you're moving down there, but technology will allow you to carry on. So we're really happy for that, and we'd like to thank you for all you've done.
Don't worry, Bill. We've got his Skype number here, and he might get a call at like 2 o'clock in the morning one morning to talk to him.
Oh, absolutely.
Nah, Billy,
that would be perfect.
My wife and I are, she's in the other studio listening. we're so, number one, we were really taken aback when you and Colleen stepped up to the plate to say you'd take the reins of Sunday in the Country Food Drive. And, you know, in all honesty, it was a hard thing for me to give up in its entirety. But in the last month, my mind has been put at ease. Even with the question that you have and this and that, it's kind of second nature to me. But I know now that it's not second nature to you and Colleen. And we couldn't be more happy with the way you two have taken the reins and done some different things and taken the food drive in a different direction and trying to get us to a point where where Pat Dineen doesn't have to go out and cook hamburgers for 57 people and make $35. Not that we all didn't enjoy all that. But there's other avenues, and you guys, you and your group, you have a really good group of young people. Dan Swift and Jen Nijak and Donnie Nijak and just your sister-in-law Dawn and Robert, and you know, younger people have younger ideas, and to me, sometimes you just got to let go of the old ways and let people take the reins and do what they're going to do, because you know that they're going to be successful because they have different avenues. And you guys are still young enough where you're not as old-fashioned as I am and is not as controlling as I am, according to Pat Dineen, who we just kissed his ass tremendously. He says I'm very demanding and, you know, just judgmental about everything. I got one viewpoint. And so with that being said, we're just so happy that it's going the way it is, and we feel totally comfortable leaving the Tri-State area. And certainly when we all sat down and talked and Randy and Pat said they would be on your team, which was good, and you guys were going to take it over, and that was good. We feel totally comfortable with leaving the food drive in a tri-state area in your hands. And certainly, I don't think on those thermometers that you made last year for the goodbye tour of the food drive for me and Chris, or Chris and I, so to speak, I've never seen that red flag go up so much on a thermometer. So I guess your ways are coming in well.
Well, it's the concept's the same. We like to support local businesses, and we get donations locally and far and wide. Wherever they come from, it's great, fantastic, and try to promote local, try to do business with the local people, and so that's gonna, we're gonna try to keep that as the best that we can. And like I said last week, all the people within this this area, I mean, they just give, and it's a unique situation, I think. I'm sure there's other places like it in the country, but certainly the amount that people give in this area is it's unbelievable. And it makes for a better place. So I just briefly, one of the events over the years has been taking out the students of Maple Brook, and we did that yesterday. This is our 16th year taking the kids out. And I say kids, they're young adults, and business to business. We expanded a few years ago. We have four different vehicles with these young people, and we went from Canaan to Pauling, both sides of the border, and left 150 letters at various businesses. And so our total yesterday that we brought in was approximately $5,000.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
When you can you imagine? Here's the thing that folks don't realize. Now, I went to the roast beef dinner the American Legion put on last night, and I was talking to Ray Akjar, and he said they'll probably make $1,000 on the dinner. Now, they were there all day. They were there from 7 o'clock in the morning till they got done serving and cleaning up, and that probably was about 8:30 or 9 o'clock last night. They raised $1,000. Those students from Maple Brook, and they've been doing this for years and years and years, 16, as a matter of fact, those students went out between 9 and 1 yesterday afternoon and raised $5,000.
It's incredible.
Is that not insane?
I mean, the community, far and wide in these communities, they give, and it's these kids, these young adults yesterday, I mean, the weather obviously was not the best, and Mrs. McGee told them all to dress properly, and not one of those kids complained. I mean, it turned bitter after about 11 o'clock, besides the snow and the rest, and they kept moving. It just, just incredible. And we have 150 letters out. So the total is going to go up.
It does every year.
Yeah. And it's unbelievable. So that was one of the things I wanted to mention about the food drive and one of the events, call an event or call it whatever you'd like, but fundraising with those young adults is unbelievable. And I enjoy it. We go out once a year, and all the kids, like I said, they love it, and no complaints. We did go over to the home farm yesterday. Thanks to Barky and Amy, and thank you for having us over. And it was unbelievable at that moment. It was about 2 o'clock, and the wind was, howling. But it was great. We got to see the animals and things, and we appreciate that stop. But anyways, that's one of the events, and there were so many others. We used to do the event down to Silo Ridge. We had the dinner dance, and I moved over to the Catholic Church after Silo had closed. But all of the people involved in that, and the community that showed up and donated, that's just one of the memories of the food drive. Unbelievable.
That was a good one. We raised $23,000 that day.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. And
that was the biggest fundraiser we ever had in our lives.
And I'm going to butt in here for a second. John Perotti is on the line for you, Dave. John?
Hey, John?
Yes.
Hey, John.
NASCAR Dave.
Hey, how are you, bud?
I'm good, thanks. You set the bar pretty high, Dave. We're going to miss you.
Well, I think Billy and Colleen can carry it on.
Oh, I'm sure they will. You set a pretty high standard, and you've got a lot of support in the area. I just wanted to call and wish you and your bride Godspeed down in the sunny Florida, and we'll be thinking of you.
All right. I appreciate all your support over the years, John. It means a lot. It means a lot to both of us, and it means a lot to both of us to we're humbled by all the people that are calling in and speaking on what good things we've done. We really don't feel we have, but thank you so much for those comments.
Well, you're good folks. There's absolutely no question about it. You have your countrymen's, you know, you're thinking about life in the country. You're thinking about life in the world. You've always led by example, and for that I commend both you and your bride.
Well, thank you so much for that.
Okay, good luck and enjoy your retirement.
All right. Thank you, John.
Bye-bye.
All right, Billy, we're back. Billy?
Yeah, so anyways, just quickly, that I wanted to thank Steve, Mike, Relinda, and Dawn, who helped us yesterday. It's quite a task to get these groups together and get them going, and you know, they're great kids, and the staff, they're all on board for next year already, and they enjoyed it, so that makes it great. I'm not going to go any further than that. And Dave, Christine, enjoy it in Florida.
We will, but you didn't tell the best part about yesterday. There was two
what
best.
What was that, Dave?
Well, there was two best parts, evidently. The one good part was that when you went up to Home Farm, it was so windy and nasty out, the animals all stayed in the barn. So that should have been your first clue. You can't blame them. And
no.
The second part was you pulling the van out of the mud down at Maple Brook School. The kids loved that the best of all.
Oh,
the students.
Boy. Yeah. That was... Well, you know, we've had a lot of rain, so...
It's always an adventure. Whatever we take on is always an adventure.
There are so many sidelines, it's unbelievable.
Yes.
That's how it keeps going.
It is.
There's stories to be told.
Absolutely. Some in school, some out of school.
You got it.
All right, Billy. Thank you. $5,000. How cool is that? So you guys had set a $40,000 goal for this year's fundraising for Sunday in a Country Food Drive. With that $5,000, about where do we stand?
We're just about halfway there, so we're doing really well.
All right. So if somebody wants to make a donation to Sunday in a Country Food Drive, and folks, as spokesman for Sunday in a Country Food Drive, now that's my new title. I can say this. We know the needs of the community, and Billy, tell us the needs of the community right now.
As far as the pantries go and the rest, we're over 500 turkeys for Thanksgiving, and we supply dry goods to four different pantries. So, I'm getting phone calls and emails about adding numbers to what we have calculated thus far, you know, for the pantry. So the need's definitely going up. So, you know, as I get these phone calls, I understand more and more about, you know, what's really going on and how things are happening. And we don't say no. We're going to fulfill the orders and whatever it takes. So, anyone out there listening would like to make a donation, our spokesperson will give you the info.
Right. Sunday in a Country Food Drive, P.O. Box 789, Millerton, New York, 12546. Or you can call Marshall Miles right here at Robin Hood Radio, or send a check to Sunday in a Country Food Drive, Robin Hood Radio, 67 Main Street, Sharon, Connecticut, and they'll pass it along to us. That would be 06069. Billy, I must say, the donations now should start coming into the mailbox after all those letters went out and people are aware of what the need is. It disappoints me sometimes that the need is always has become 500 or above for the last 8 or 10 years. It just means that people are still struggling in one form or the other. And that doesn't mean that folks aren't out working. I think the difference now than when we first started in 2001, or back in 92 when I started the food drive, Cupcake and I, is that back then in the 90s, it was people who were out of work and needed help. And now the whole complexity of it has changed to where husbands and wives and boyfriend and girlfriend are out working, but they just need a little bit of a break and a little bit of help push to get over the edge, because they may have children that need medicine, or they may have medicine themselves, or they may have a car payment, or they may have their rent or their electricity or their fuel oil bill. And it's not that the majority of the folks that use these pantries are not working, trying to help themselves. It's just they just need that little bit of push, and that few $75 or $80 that they save on by going to the food pantry a week or for Thanksgiving or Christmas, it really helps them in an incredible way. And that's why the food drive is committed to continue to support that cause. And I'm going to say this right now, as the spokesman. Reverend Betsy was in here from St. Thomas Church in South Armenia, or in Armenian Union. Yeah, there's two different ones. In Armenian Union. And it's not what Sunday in a Country Food Drive does. It's not what Reverend Betsy does as director of the food pantry. It's not what Betsy Clark or this one or that one that are in charge of all these food pantries that we serve. Who we're serving are the folks that are in need, and we're supporting the folks that go in there each and every week to all these food pantries on a weekly basis, that keep those shelves stocked, that have the product for the end user, and greet them at the door and give them what they need. I've said it forever. The people who man the food pantries are the ones that deserve the credit for everything, because we do it twice a year and sometimes beyond, depending on what the need is. But each and every week, these volunteers are there at those pantries, and they're graciously giving the food out. That's what it's all about. It's about those volunteers.
No doubt about that. There's so many things that they need to do, and the volunteers, they need to do it. And like you said, this is week to week. This isn't once or twice a month out of the year. This is week to week. And, you know, I'm so happy that I can be a part of helping them in some way. You sit down and think about how it would be if you're struggling and you need to go there and they're there to help you. It's hard to imagine if you haven't lived it. So, you have to put yourself in their place and you think twice about, where your next meal might be coming from. And it's a tough situation. And these volunteers, they're incredible. Go check it out if you haven't yet. I think you should go check it out and see what really goes on, and you'll have a better understanding of how things go.
Unbelievable.
That it is. So, anyways, again, you guys enjoy yourself. Thanks for all you've done.
All right. Now, Kozlowski's winning today down in Phoenix, because this is the only race report I'm doing. It's on at 2:30 p.m. on NBC, and I think last week's winner, Kevin Harvick, who ran away with the Texas race, got disqualified because he put an illegal spoiler on his car. So he's not automatically in a chase, but he came back this week and is on the pole for Phoenix.
Yeah, well, that whole race is under review with our NASCAR Cup.
So who had Harvick last week?
Well, John Hicks.
Oh, well, he's won enough this year. He's disqualified, too.
Yeah.
I got the bus out now, Billy. He's done. Really? He's done.
And he really does have it. He has a yellow bus right in front of him.
Got a yellow bus right here in front, and I'm taking it to Florida with all the stations I've worked on. WKZE, Q103, and WHDD.
Nice.
And you know what, Billy? Here's the best thing that ever happened in my life. You know the studio where we all come in and talk?
Yep.
It's now named after me.
Oh, boy.
So this, what's it called, Marshall? I can't read it from here.
It's Studio ND, NASCAR Dave.
NASCAR Dave.
And it's got the date that it was
Studio
dedicated, which is today.
ND.
Perfect. Okay, well, I'll let you go, and I'll maybe see you later.
All right, well, you got my message, right?
I did.
Okay, that's all right. Thanks, Bill.
Okay, all right, take care.
Now, Dave, before you continue on, I can't forget that Jessica Kane wishes you guys lots of love and well. Stephen Value, Fran Horton, Erica Crows, our good friends at the Interlaken Inn also have checked in.
Wow. So, Christine.
There you go, Christine.
Guess who we forgot on this list?
Who did we forget?
Pug Roll.
I know.
How could we forget Pug Roll? See, years ago, we all had names for each other. How are you, young man?
Very good. I wasn't sure I could say your name on the air.
Well, no, you probably can't.
Probably can't.
No, you can't. No. No, it's probably, there's no word probably. You just can't.
Between you and Nitro, whenever the mics were off, it was great.
Well, let me tell you what. That's right. You were with us in the Nitro Dave era.
Yeah. Mr. Watts was something else, too.
You know what? He took, I was going to talk a little bit about all the folks that have helped me become popular. You were running a board at Q103 at the time, right?
Yeah, you allowed me to do that, yeah.
No, it's not that I allowed anybody to do anything, but what was that song by Alabama you liked so much?
I was trying to find it this morning. I couldn't remember, but it was a racing song that we used to play in the morning.
No, what? No, we have the racing song. But
oh, you still have that one?
It was an instrumental one where the acoustics all went together, and you really loved that song by Alabama.
That was like, what, 30 years ago now?
It seems like 30 years ago. But anyway, welcome back.
Well, we had to stop by on the farewell tour.
And this is your daughter?
This is Lorelei.
Hi, Lorelei.
Hi.
Wow.
Lorelei's 13. She didn't get to hear me on the radio back then.
She
so
didn't.
It's been that long.
She was born right after that, though,
yeah.
I think, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we talk about you a lot, though.
You do?
Sometimes in good ways.
Long as it's sometimes in good ways.
Actually, we were reading about how long you've been doing the drive.
Yeah.
And how impressed I was in the early days. You started it out with just you and Bob, was it?
Yeah, just Bob Chaffield. And
a couple of turkeys with a couple of turkeys.
Yeah.
And
look at where it is now, 500 and something.
And by the way, Marion Chaffield called in and wished you much love and success also. She called in early.
Nice.
So, Lorelei brought something to add to the drive.
Thank you so much.
Add to your pile.
Billy, we got more money.
yeah, it was some pretty great times.
Well, back then, that's when we did every pantry with turkeys and food, dry food. Remember how much food we had in the studio up there at Q103?
Yeah.
It was insane.
I needed a circus of friends to get it all loaded up.
Well, believe me, I have a circus of friends.
A bigger circus.
It was a big circus. Well, you know what? Chad is now my engineer.
Sorry about that.
Of course, I got the top dog on today. That's right. You got my last show.
The big dog.
You know, all the engineers that I've had over the years... And I've had numerous ones. I had Laura O'Reilly. I had yourself. I had Laura O'Reilly here. I had
You had Ron Lyon, didn't you?
I had Ron Lyon. I had Mike Flint in back of me. I had...
did you ever have Levero do it?
Billy, yeah, I had Levero do it.
He must have screwed it up bad.
Oh, he did, yeah. He wanted to run the whole show. That didn't work too well for him. And then there was Bill Simmons, who was with me for quite a while up at Q103. I mean, I've been nothing but... I've been kind of like a prima donna radio host. Because all I had to do... Any one of the three stations was come in, sit down, and talk. I didn't have to worry about the setup. I didn't have to worry about pushing buttons. Didn't have to worry about anything.
Honestly, we were all honored to be able to help lift you up.
Well, you did a great job, every single one of you, because I haven't been let down yet.
There's one more little piece of memento here for you. You can open this while we're here.
I can?
Well, yeah, it's... Well, we were going to get you snowballs to bring with you to Florida, so you can remember us up here.
I hope you didn't do that. Did you do that, Lorelai? Now, is this your idea? It is?
I found it. But
you did?
Yeah, to help you remember.
Now, how old are you? 13?
13, yeah.
Now, where do you go to school?
Salisbury Central School.
Okay, did you go to the veterans thing the other day?
Yeah.
Was it cold? Larry
went
too. You
guys did a terrific job. My son is a teacher, John Conklin.
Yeah.
And Megan, you know her?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, look at this, Chris.
Well, what is it, Dave? Explain it to us on the radio.
It's a cup with a...
With a pug mug.
With That's a cool. pug mug.
Pug mug cup.
How cool is that?
So it's kind of it's a blend. It's a fancy little mug with a pug
nice.
On it to remind you of pug roll.
That's right, pug roll.
And
that's so cool.
And to remind,
I don't remember how I came up with that name for you, unfortunately. Probably because you're a little round.
I'm a little round. Yeah, that could be what it is.
I wanted to talk about, you know, a little later on I was going to talk about it. I'll bring it up now. But, you know, Bobby Chatfield and I were friends, and when he was down in the first studio when you walk in this station now in WHDD. And it was AM radio back then. And he had a Sunday morning show that was country. So I called him up and I said, he and I are best friends at the time. And even though he's passed away, he's still a dear friend of mine. I called him and I said, if you're going to do country, you got to do NASCAR. He says, I don't have time. You come in and do it. So I sat on the stool down on the garbage can, and we started to do a 15-minute segment on just NASCAR racing. So from there, it went on and on. So he nicknamed me NASCAR Dave.
Well, it's his idea. Wow.
It was him that he was the one that gave me NASCAR Dave's tag, and I was the one that tagged him. Okay, you're going to nickname me because he was black. I called him the Chocolate Cupcake.
Oh,
okay, that's
I
how
always
that
heard
name
it, but never knew.
About.
Okay.
So then when I started working with Dave Watts, who decided, well, big shot, if you're going to do NASCAR and you're going to have a racing show, you've got to do NHRA. So I used the same technique that Bob did. I said, well, I don't have time to research NHRA, and he was a big fan of it. And he says, all right, I'll come in and do it. So then we named him Nitro Dave Watts. And then at that time, you were on the board, so you were kind of heavy, so we called you Pug Roll.
Okay. Of all the names it could have been, I mean, I think that's a good one.
Well, and you know what, though? It stuck. I mean,
we
had so much fun on the air with it that anything that I've ever done on the air has never been demeaning to anybody. I mean, when you nickname a black guy Chocolate Cupcake, can you imagine if you did that today?
Mm.
There'd probably be people coming down on us all the time. What are you doing?
Right.
You know, it's racist. He and I grew up together.
Right. You're two friends.
You know, that's it. That's just the way we grew up in this community. There was no black and white or yellow and green or any of that. And that's what we're teaching our kids now.
Mm.
But Bobby and I learned that because that's what our parents taught us to do, to accept everybody. Doesn't
right.
make any difference to your color.
Yeah, I used to.
Or anything.
I used to ask Lorelai, how do I tell somebody in your class, you know, who are they, what do they look like? And she would give me a description of their character. And I said, but what do they look like? And at some point I would eventually get, well, they have brown skin. But that wasn't the first thing she thought of.
No.
It was who they were as a person.
No, absolutely.
And for me it was the descriptor of trying to remember what they looked like.
Yeah.
But for her it was about character.
Yeah, and that's what we've taught our kids. And that's a good thing.
It is.
You know what I mean? Seriously. That's a good thing. Because they don't look at color anymore. Or they don't look if you're gay. Or they don't look if you're transgender. We don't look at that anymore. Some people still do.
Well, Pug Girl, all I can say, they look at you when you're big, though.
Well, that's coming from. Go ahead.
I was going to say, even if you're a moron with an ego that can't get through the door, they still like you, Dave.
That's right.
Oh, thank you very much. Oh, listen, Laura Lyle, you stay. Your father's got to leave now. He's all done.
This is going to be a while.
Wow. I so appreciate that Pug Roll.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
it's got
phenomenal.
My fancy little flair on there.
It does.
The little pug's got some nice Hollywood glasses on, a little red bow.
Just like me, Hollywood. I like it. Well, listen, young lady, do you want to go to college at some point?
Yeah.
Where do you want to go? Do you know? Or you not
I don't
even,
know yet.
You don't know what
you want
to do?
As long as singing is involved, right?
Oh, you're a singer.
Yeah.
Good for you.
We got to meet Kristen Chenoweth. Over at, was it UConn we went to and saw her there?
Wow.
So that's one of her inspirations, one of her idols, a shorter girl with a really big voice and plenty of character. So Lorelai is definitely destined to something in that realm. She's still involved with the Playhouse over here at Sharon.
Wow.
And those guys are doing a great job.
Oh, they're doing a phenomenal job there.
Do you remember the song you sang, Thank You for Your Sacrifice? Can you sing us a lyric out of that?
Well, I didn't sing that, actually, because it was only the younger kids that sang it, so I don't know it.
Okay, you didn't really rehearse that.
Which one in your age group did you sing?
We didn't actually sing anything. We just sat in the back and didn't do anything.
Okay.
Well, you probably weren't ready for this to be thrust upon you, but do you remember the goodbye song for Canada?
Yes.
Okay, I may have to have a tissue for this. Can you do any of it? No, she doesn't want me to cry on the air. That's what it is.
Good to embarrass your father. It's good to see him cry. You want to sing it for us?
No.
Do
you sure?
I'm sure?
Okay.
Not even a line. All right.
Can't sing
I'm
going to
pay for that
line.
Later. So from the scars I got from you, she's going to reopen those wounds.
That's good for you. All right. Well, I got a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah,
I so appreciate you coming in. And it's funny because I have a bunch of names written down here.
Oh, I know you got a list.
And I totally, you know what, while we were talking about folks that have sat in on a board for me, I have everybody but you. I do, seriously, and I apologize for that. But I didn't
beat you hard enough back.
You
I understand.
Did
I
no,
didn't
you just went along with
you.
The flow. But once in a while, you're like Chad. You just played your own tunes and went on from there.
Little Dr. Demento, some Weird Al, and you're like, what the heck are you playing at Sunday morning? This is a country show.
Yeah, I have to say that all the time to my last day.
Well, I got a parting song that Marshall maybe can play into a commercial break for you that we actually got to hear an a cappella group last night when Lorelai was performing.
Cool.
And it was one of their tunes, so maybe you could play the first verse on the way to a commercial.
All right.
For our thoughts for you.
Thank you so much.
It was an honor to work with you, sir.
It was an honor to work with you. You did a great job also. And it was so fun to see you all growing up. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Dave.
All right, good morning. You're live on Hometown Sunday Morning.
David McMillan.
Hello.
Grab a piece of cake.
David McMillan.
Yep.
Ken Barker.
Hey, Kenny. Wow.
Since we're talking about, I know.
Got it. Are you sure you're dialing the right number, bud?
You were getting into sensitivity, so I figured I would call.
Oh, that's good. So you're going to bring me out of that.
Exactly. I can snap you right out of that.
I like the way you think, bud.
Yes. Hey, on behalf of everybody at the Ski Jumps, not only the board of directors, the kids, we've appreciated everything you guys have done over the years to help us. Whether it's been the golf tournament, the brewski, the jumps, the junior nationals, you've always been there. And it's been very much appreciated by all of us. And I think it'll probably be better organized now that Mr. Anstead's in charge.
I think, you know what? In all honesty, Kenny, I have to agree with you.
Yeah. Because sometimes it was truly a circus.
Yeah.
But we always pulled the performance off, and it's been very much appreciated. And you and I, we've never been that good at complimenting each other.
No, we haven't. You know what? I so appreciate you even just thinking to call in. Kenny, our relationship with Swasa and the food drive and the radio station have really, it's been a phenomenon when you think about it. When you think about what we've done, I think about doing that cook shack for the junior nationals where Randy Christensen and I had to get there at 4 o'clock in the morning to get the water heated up to make hot chocolate and get the grill heated up. And that year that the junior nationals came, and it had to be 10 below zero every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I think about the opening ceremonies that Swasa did, and Marshall and I were standing out on the steps of the Scoville Memorial Library trying to broadcast that parade that you did, just like they do in the Olympics. I mean, that was absolutely a phenomenal time. And if you look at the time that we've done the pig roast, and then you did the nighttime golf, and you guys went like, I don't know, 40 holes or something. It was 3 rounds of golf in one day. And you're finishing up at 10, 11 o'clock at night. And we had food stations set up. I mean, over the years, we've had so much fun doing it. And like you say, there was a lot of issues that came up all along the way. And you know what? We worked through it and we got it done. And nobody knew the worst for the wear. And you still owe me for 5 beers that you came in a cook shack and took out of my cooler.
Oh, we can work on that later this afternoon. You going to the office?
I'm not sure which office I'm going to. The Grand High Exalted hasn't told me, but I'm thinking we'll be there because we're going to be taking Helen over.
Okay. Well, like I say, just want to say thank you for all you've done, and I wish you, Chris, and Helen all the best down in sunny Florida.
Well, thank you very much, Kenny. I so appreciate that call.
All right, Dave.
Kenny Barker.
And now we get Mary Millette. You know Mary, right?
Yeah, I know Mary quite well. Thanks. Hi, Mary.
No, she sent in a message. Thanks for your endless help and compassion to those in need. Love you. Best to you and Chris in your next chapter. Terry Uverard wishing you and Chris and the girls all the best in your retirement. Scott Ashelman. Always loved working with Dave at Q103, and now we have another caller.
All right. Well, I guess Pug Roll shouldn't feel too bad because I forgot Scott Ashelman. Good morning. You're live on Hometown Sunday Morning.
Good morning. Little blast from the past. Hi, Dave. Hi, Chris. Hi, Marshall. It's Thea.
Yeah.
You got to be kidding me. I didn't forget you. You're on my list.
I would never forget you guys. You made me welcome in the community. You gave me a purpose. Nothing was more rewarding than working with you guys on the food drive. And it's sad to think that a pillar like you in the community is going to leave us, but you've earned it, and I hope you both enjoy retirement and sunny skies. It's well-deserved and well-earned.
Well, thank you so much, honey. And I see your better half every day. To wave at it on his bike.
Yes, the crazy man is still out there in the cold on his bike.
The crazy man is still out there. And you know what? We were talking earlier about that trip to Washington, D.C.
Oh, what a good time.
And you crazy birds rode the bike down.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you rode it back. And then it got, remember coming up through the Pocono Mountains? It got so goddamn cold you couldn't stand it.
Yeah, I think we stopped it. I think.
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, well, all of a sudden I got a dial tone. That was
yeah,
weird.
Me too.
I remember it got so cold we stopped at a fast food chain, and that's when I went got in Patio's truck.
Yeah, that was a fun trip, though.
Fun and heartwarming and heartbreaking. You know, I'll never forget. I was serving cookies. And the young man thanked me, and he reached for the cookie with a mechanical prosthetic hand. And I thanked him for his service. I gave him the cookies, and then I had to leave. I had to go up to the reflecting pool because I couldn't keep it together.
Yeah, no.
I think every American
if they have the opportunity, needs to go and really see what our young men and women sacrifice for us, because it gives you a way different perspective than what most at large have.
Absolutely. No, that was, it was eye-opening for all of us, for sure.
Oh, what a, but I'm grateful for it. So grateful for it, and grateful to you and Chris and Sunday and the country, because none of those things would have been in my life without you. So it is, it, like I said, it's sad to see you go, but you've earned it.
Well, thank you so much for the call, and you're kind of a blast from the past, too, because Pug Roll was just here, and I forgot he was my engineer, and then Scott Ashelman sent a message on Facebook, and I forgot he was one, too. I guess it sounds to me like I ran through a lot of engineers in 26 years.
You touched a lot of lives. Look at it that way.
Well, thank you so much for your support over the years, Steve. And, you know, Chris and I love you the best of all. And
Love you guys. And best of luck on all your new adventures, because I can't imagine you retiring and it actually being kind of a not doing anything thing.
We'll see how that works out. I'll let you know.
Absolutely. All right. Take care. God bless you all.
Thanks for the call.
Take care. Bye-bye.
See ya. Scott Ashelman, too.
Wow.
Who else did I forget?
I don't know, but let's see. I do have – Linda Gregory checks in and says they send you the best. And who else? Judy Spencer also sent – you got a lot of people. I think your page is up to – hang on. I've got here. I think it's up to – I think it's probably around 1,200 or 1,300 check-ins already.
Wow. So how about Linda Gregory? We're going to talk about the food drive a little bit. And Billy had touched on it, Chris, about the dinner dance. She and Kathleen Howard and Diane Kelly were instrumental in getting that, and Joey DeVito.
Now don't forget Billy Simmons.
And Billy Simmons.
There's another one of your engineers.
Yeah. No, but I mean instrumental in getting that dinner dance going down at Silo Ridge.
That was
and
fun.
And they talked to Robbie Canners, and the owner of Steve Garofalo at the time at Silo Ridge, to be able to do a fundraiser down there. And in that one day, similar to what they're doing for the Millerhurst family, we had a dinner. Sit-down dinner that was catered by Silo Ridge staff. They cooked it. They served it. We had silent auction, and you paid for your ticket to get in there. Joey D was doing the tunes. The only thing we didn't get any money on is they wanted the bar, which was fine with us. We didn't have to do a thing other than go in there, set it up, set our raffle prizes up, and they did the rest, and we raised $23,000 in one night.
It's a lot of money.
And they did that 2 years, and then unfortunately Silo Ridge went on and did something different. They closed and did different things, and we moved it down to the Immaculate Conception Church, and we cooked and made money, but not that kind of money. And Linda Gregory and that group that I just spoke about, they were instrumental in doing that, making that all happen. And Linda and Jack with Jack's Auto, that's another one of my underwriters. Marshall had been on for a long time with me throughout my radio career. They're another one that's instrumental in helping out the food drive. When you talk about the food drive, you think about the years we used to drive by here, Marshall, when you moved back down here to WHDD. Excuse me, going by the window out front with Jack Gregory's flatbed, and having four pallets full of food,
yeah,
as high as you could see, you know, 7 feet high, filling that flatbed and taking it up to Elaine LaRoche's place, who let us use her facility at that time. And since then, and that was a great Lion Rock Farm. And since then, we've now moved over to Pine Plains, because we moved it because we wanted to incorporate where some of the other money came from in the tri-state area. And at that time and still to this day, a lot of money comes from Pine Plains, even though Pine Plains is not a food pantry we serve anymore because they've gone to something different and have a different way to raise funds for themselves, and they don't need the help. We go now to Greg Pulver and his wife's place of business right there, and you can back your truck right inside a warm garage and get your food, and nobody has to be out in the bitter cold. When we first started it, Q103, where it was big, we'd stack the food in the building, then bring it outside the building, put it in piles, and people would come up. It'd be raining, snowing, sleeting, whatever the wind was, whatever it was, we did. And you think about how far that's progressed. It's all because of the volunteers that have helped us over the years to make that all happen and evolve.
So can I remind you one more time why you started the food drive and why, go back to basics as to why that happened, please? Because Thea understands that more than you do.
Well,
and she's listening.
I want everybody to understand why I started a food drive, because when I was 18, I moved down to New Rochelle, New York, and went to work. I went down on my own. I was out of high school and out of trade school. Had a trade, got a job at an air conditioning company, went down there. My first time out of the house, where I had car payments, I had rent, I had to eat every day because I didn't have a kitchen. I had a room with a bathroom. So at that point in my life, when I was probably 19, I got down there and I said, wow, this is cool. I'm on my own. I'm going to do great things. Well, guess what? The money don't go too far. Back then, and I think this was pretty good money. I think I was bringing home $140 a week. So back in the 72, that was pretty good money. But you know what? I was paying $125 a month rent. I had a new car. Then I forgot what that payment was. But then you got insurance and you got all the other things. So food took a second plate. And so I had this foreman at the job, and this air conditioning company was big. We had 40 employees in the summer, 40 guys. And the owner happened to be from this area up here. His name was Nelson. His last name was Nelson. As a matter of fact, I think his brother was, at one time, he was the financial person at Hotchkiss School, and I'd have to research that. But anyway, they had a house on Copaic Lake. So anyway, he hired me because I was from the north. And this foreman that I had, his name was Joe Moniz. He was a Portuguese guy. Came from the Azores. And he and his wife both came from the airline industry. They worked for Pan Am at the time. Well, he didn't. He worked for this air conditioning company. But they met while they were both working at Pan Am. She was a stewardess. He was an air conditioning expert for planes. So to make a long story shorter, after I got there for 4 or 5 months, he realized that I wasn't eating properly. So he took me under his wing and he'd say, okay, you're gonna go with me today. We got to look at this air conditioner. I want to see what you can do in this and that and the other thing. So he would take me and then we'd stop at a deli and he'd say, I'm going to get a breakfast sandwich. Can I order you something? I said, no. He said, why? I said, because I don't have enough money for a breakfast sandwich. He said, that's why I asked you if you want a breakfast sandwich. I'll buy you a breakfast sandwich. So after he got to know me a little bit, he and his wife started inviting me over to their house all the time for dinner. Not every night, but 3 or 4 nights a week. But in the meantime, he took me to a butcher where he bought his food. And his butcher taught me how to buy bone-in chicken or bone-in anything and debone it, so that I could have fillets or do whatever I wanted to do with it. But the butcher taught me for free. And so in the meantime, in between those days that I didn't get to go to his house or whatever, I became hungry. And I can tell you right now, folks, if you're really hungry, I mean really hungry, there's no worse feeling in the world. I guess probably the only worse feeling that I'll feel in my life is just before I die, because I'm figuring that's going to be the worst feeling in my life. But there's no worse feeling in this life when you're upright than to go to bed hungry. Because you go to bed hungry, you wake up hungry, and you don't know where your next meal's coming from. Thankfully, because of Joe Moniz, the next day maybe I had something good to eat. And I never forgot that, and I never will forget that feeling. To this day, my wife would tell you, every once in a while, about once a year, it used to be quite often when we were first married, but we've been married 42 years. I'll take out a steak, I'll take out a roast beef, I'll take out a full chicken, I'll take out bacon. And she'll say, what are you doing? I say, I want to have something to eat. And she'll say, you don't need to take it all out. It's in the freezer. Just take it out as we need it. I want it out because I know that it's there. And to this day, I still do that at least once a year. I'll take five different things out of the freezer all at one time. And to this day, she still tells me I don't need to do that. But it's something that I do. And so there's no worse feeling. So for the folks that go to the food pantries, some of them go because they're hungry. Some of them go because they need a little bit of boost. Either way, it makes no difference to Sunday in a Country, and that's why we started it. And Sunday in a Country Food Drive was started by Bob Chatfield and myself, the chocolate cupcake. Two of us came up with the idea. My wife and my mother-in-law gave us the turkey, because back then, he couldn't afford a turkey, and I really couldn't afford a turkey. But they got two turkeys as a bonus where they worked. So they gave us those two turkeys. And from there, we did it for a couple of years, and then Randy Christensen came on board, because at that time we had moved to Q103. So Randy comes up with his harebrained idea. Let's do 103 turkeys. So he went out and raised enough money to buy 103 turkeys. And from there it's taken off, and now it's 500. And now it's 11:43. And we've got a couple of songs that I want to get out of here with. First of all, I need to thank, I was going to list a whole bunch of people. Anybody,
don't do that, because you'll forget somebody, no. And then everybody will be mad at you.
Anybody that's ever helped Sunday in a Country Food Drive, supported Robin Hood Radio, or Q103 when I was there, or WKZ when I was there, we so appreciate your support. To my underwriters who have been with me for years, I ask everything of everybody right now. I'm going to be leaving Sharon, Connecticut, in Millerton, New York. My spirit is always going to be with you. I hope you continue to support the greatest little radio station in the world, Robin Hood Radio. Because without Marshall Miles and Jill Goodman, none of this would be available. Nobody. The pancake breakfast wouldn't do as good. We wouldn't get our local news. We couldn't promote any dinner that's going on. It's all because of their foresight to see that we still need local radio. It's been my pleasure for 25 and a half or 26 years to be on this radio station. Marshall, you and I are friends. We've been friends a long time. I want to thank you for allowing me to do this.
I thank you for doing it. People have said to me, so how are you going to replace NASCAR Dave? And I said, you can't replace what Dave does, because it goes beyond just being on the radio. It involves the whole community. And I think because we grew up together and in an era in this community, I think we and other people like us who grew up in that time know what community is all about. And our purpose is, yeah, we'd like to do what we'd like to do, but we really like to also serve the community.
Well, we do serve the community best. And so I want to thank you and Joe for allowing me to do this for 26 years. You, Cupcake, and you decided to bring me in. And we went from 15 minutes to 3 hours. And I think about the people I've interviewed on the radio over the years. You look at Steve Blass, who I had in here, just for one instance, another famous, world-famous person in the tri-state community. Some of the race car drivers that I've talked to over the years. Some of the things I've gotten to do in my life, or my wife and I have gotten to do in our lives, that we would have never gotten to do. It's all because of this radio or the radio stations that I've been on and what we've done. And for the food drive to become so popular and continue to go on, we're going to leave with, speak for my wife and I, we're going to leave with heavy hearts because we're sad to be leaving this kind of lifestyle. But we're also very excited about the new chapter in our life. And for that, we're grateful that we're able to do that. And we're going to continue to support the tri-state area in any way that we can, much like the Hoosiers do down in the Carolinas. And Marshall, I've got a yellow school bus and this little microphone with all three radio stations that I've been on. That is so unique. I so appreciate that. And to everybody that has touched my life and everybody's lives that I've touched, it's been my pleasure. And Larry Conklin and Steve Value, you took me to a different level with troop tributes to Paul Johnson, who's been a thorn in my side ever since he came in.
It's not over yet.
But I'm so I'm just so grateful that you came on board. And Pat Dineen and I got you out of your little shell there at Cumberland Farms, where you would actually say, "Hi, how are you today?" I think, you know what, that was the most inroads I've ever made in my life.
And then get thrown under the bus.
And then get thrown under the bus. But, you know, the bus I have has big wheels.
Yes.
It's okay.
And it says thrown under the bus.
Well, anyway, to all of you, thank you so much. And to Mike Flint in the back, who takes little credit for what he does. Chad, you've done a tremendous job. All the other folks that have been on the radio with me, you all made me look good. Thea, everybody. Like I said, I've been a prima donna my whole radio life, and it's going to be a new world for me on Sunday mornings from now on not to be a prima donna. So that's going to be tough for me. And thank you all for your well wishes today. I am truly humbled. And these songs, the first song goes out to the food drive because they're so successful. And the second song, I guess, Marshall picked out.
Yeah, you have to sit there because we're going to introduce the last song, and you know, we're going to say goodbye to you a proper way.
Okay, bud.
So don't go anyplace.
We're not going anywhere. Right. Thank you so much. You're listening to Hometown Sunday Morning.
There are people in this country who work hard every day. Not for fame or fortune do they strive, but the fruits of their labor are worth more than their pay, and it's time a few of them were recognized. Hello, Detroit auto worker, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living, just to send it on down. Pittsburgh steel mill worker, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living, just to send it on down the line. This is for the one who swings the hammer, driving home the nail. For the one behind the counter, ringing up the sales. For the one who fights the fire, the one who everyone who works behind the scenes. You can see them every morning in the factories and the fields,
in the city streets and the quiet country towns. Working together like spokes inside a wheel, they keep this country turning around. Hello, Kansas, wheat field farmer, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living, just to send it on down the line. Hello, West Virginia coal miner, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living, just to send it on down the line. Drives the big rig up and down the road, for the one out in the warehouse bringing in the load, for the waitress, the mechanic, the policeman on patrol, for everyone who works behind the scenes with a spirit you can't replace with no machine. Hello, America. Let me thank you for your time.
Now, Dave, of course, that's Alabama 40-hour week. And as you said when you started this show, there couldn't be a better day for you to call it quits on the air than the day we have, like Veterans Day, where so many people gave their not only their lives, but those who stand on that wall, that thin line that protects us from chaos and mayhem and the freedoms we have now. The work that they do is amazing. The lives that they gave are truly appreciated. And what you have to understand is your little radio show and your little food drive that you started with Bob Chatfield has brought together literally, and I mean this, thousands and thousands of people in the tri-state region. And there's not very many people who can have an accomplishment like that, where you bring thousands of different people together for a common goal. And good buddy, you'll be missed. That's all I can say.
Thank you.
Have a great life.
Turn out the lights. The party's over. They say that all good things must end. Call it a night. The party's over, and tomorrow starts the same old thing again. What a crazy, crazy party. Never seen so many people laughing, dancing. Look at you, you're having fun. But look at me, I'm almost crying. But that don't keep her love from dying. Misery, cause for me, the party's over. Turn out the lights, the party's over. They say that all good things must end. Call it a night. The party. Once I had a love undying. I didn't keep it, wasn't trying. Life for me was just one party and then another. I broke her heart so many times. Had to have my party wine. Then one day she said, sweetheart, the party's over. Turn out the lights. The party's over. They say that all good things must end.
call it a night.
The party's over, and tomorrow starts the same old thing again. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again. Toured the concert halls. We survived our share of bar rooms, stared at many motel walls. The years in Carolina and all the one night stands. What kept the fires a-burning back then was you, the fans. We two stepped out to Texas, round and round the dance hall floor. Played the fair in Minnesota. I wish we could have played one more. We hope you remember. We're just the boys in the band. And what keeps the fires a-burning is always you, the fans.
Robin Hood Radio is WHDD AM and FM Sharon, WBSL FM Sheffield, and WLHV FM Annandale on Hudson.